I'd like to welcome you all to the February 27th, 2020 meeting of the San Dieguito Union High School District Board of Trustees. Our meeting protocols are available at the sign-in table. Please note this meeting is being video and audio recorded. And Ms. Sarah Trigg is going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Sarah, I what?
Pledge of Allegiance, can you handle it?
No, that's actually Wendy.
Is Wendy going to do it? Wendy.
All right.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda of the February 27th, 2020 regular meeting of the San Dieguito Union High School District as presented? Got a motion? Do I have a second?
Second.
Got any it. Other questions or comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Are there any requests for public comment?
For item two?
Excuse me. Which? I've got board governance. I'm sorry. Public comment, if any. Are there any for?
No.
No.
Not for that. Okay. So this item is an opportunity for the board to discuss our agendas and provide direction to myself as board president and to the superintendent, as we have board members suggesting you consider daytime meetings.
I would just like to point out, under item A, you can discuss the agendas and any changes or ask me any Brown Act questions. And that's just a discussion. It would be under B that you would take any action if you did want to make any changes.
So we need to talk about changes for A?
We put this on as there were some questions about the construction of the agenda and or the potential for holding some meetings during the day. So this is your opportunity as a board to discuss and give us whatever direction you'd like us to go. And then if you want to take action, we agendized it so that under B, you can take action if you so desire.
I appreciate hearing feedback and then agendizing that feedback. Thank you very much. And I think part of the discussion came from talking with parents, especially those with special needs children, who have a really difficult time finding childcare to come to meetings in the evening. So there was a request, could we perhaps allow for some meetings to occur during daytime hours when their children are in school? And, of course, having daytime meetings poses challenges for those who are working or in the classroom that might not be able to attend. So maybe we could have a balance so that it's an equal opportunity for everyone to attend a meeting. It's just an idea. I'd love to hear some feedback. What do you guys think?
So I have a point. I think also on the heels of this is I would like to see a board meeting down south in CCA. I saw a lot of parents feel like they don't know what's going on. Maybe they're busy, but if it was close to them, they would come. And give that opportunity to see what we're doing or participating in our governance. Yeah.
The Brown Act requires us to set the date and the time. We can change the location. There has to be board action to change the location. As long as it's within the district boundaries, we do not have to take board action on that. So that's certainly something we can consider at the staff level and work with the board. But to change the date and time, that does require board action.
Ms. Dilsundage?
Yes, I have a comment. And this may not be practical for this particular year's worth of dates, but kind of have what might be considered a radical idea. When the district was significantly smaller than it is now, we met twice a month. And it was a really great opportunity for the board to have discussion, really deep discussion over some of the items that were to come up at the next board meeting for actual voting one way or the other. And staff really does try to keep us informed. There's no question about that. But we don't get the opportunity with the staff information, the benefit of each other's views.
Right.
And it feels like we're not quite as in touch and on top of some of the items that come up during the course of the month that may have been important to get comfortable with mid-month. Again, I know that's really changes everything. But we did it before, and we did it with a much smaller district.
So I have a comment about that. I think that's a great idea, and I've been thinking about that very thing. Is I think I had always thought in the handbook that the superintendent was supposed to respond to all board members. If there was a question, same thing when we have any meetings, I think Joe's there, we should take notes, and then all the board members know what's discussed. And then everybody's on the same page with information, because sometimes something comes up here or comes up here, and you don't have the same information. And so I think that would be helpful, like you're talking about, to expound on these issues, because your questions aren't, right? Not everybody has the same questions.
So you're saying when we meet with staff,
yes. We
don't know what each other
right.
has.
Right, and then Joe's there, she could take notes, and then send them out to the whole board, and then everybody's on the same page.
I think the intent would be if we had a few more meetings scheduled. When I came on board 16 years ago, I believe we had 17 or 18 meetings. It wasn't quite, I mean, it was several months had two, but we had some dark months and some fewer meetings on a couple of the, I think we had school breaks and so forth. But I agree, we had time to either have workshops specific or you know, where we could discuss topical items. But I think that would be the opportunity then for us to all speak in the same room, getting the same information,
yes.
as opposed to meeting with staff and then trying to share notes in a way that is...
Right.
Well, I would only caution with the note sharing. We have to be very, very careful not to violate the Brown Act.
Right. Well, I think this would be, if there was a question, just like, I don't know, maybe in numbers or a specific on some sort of facilities, that would be helpful. Because a lot of times I think what you think is important isn't what someone else thinks is important. And then maybe, you know, that would give a further discussion on a topic.
I really think your idea is a great idea,
yeah.
Mrs. Alexander.
I'd like that, too.
I think that would be really helpful.
Instead of, like you were saying, an agenda meeting, it could be a board discussion meeting
with
all board members. And then, like I said, we could be sharing our ideas, and everyone would be on the same page on all these ideas.
All right, but these dates would still then need to be approved. I know I had brought up the possibility back when we did our organizational meeting, perhaps I presented it in terms of workshops as opposed to being calling them discussion meetings or something, but since we don't have those dates on and we haven't all looked at calendars,
That would require some significant research. It was difficult for us to get these dates.
Right.
I just want to make that clear. We had a lot of customization going on for our regular meeting schedule. We could definitely look at it for the future. That's certainly something we could look at.
And I'm not talking about simply having a discussion meeting. I'm talking about having an agenda that, first of all, cuts the length of each board member, of each board meeting by quite a bit, but obviously it's putting an extra one in each month, but it is enabling us to get a better grip on each of the items that are up for discussion / ratification.
I think you're right, because this is a big agenda. This is a lot down here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all of us, when I'm looking at this, this should have been separated into a couple agendas while that is going on here, because there's a lot of information here. I do have to say, since we're on the topic of being off topic on certain things, it would be helpful, like we used to do this with Rick and Eric, where we had the superintendent's schedule, and then we could see where maybe we could fit in, or it could be a continuum so we could see what's going on. I like that, where you could just also drop in and see things. And I don't know why we're not doing that anymore.
I do think we get the superintendent's upcoming schedule fairly
regularly. Joe used to put it out on Mondays. Remember, Joe, and they could just drop into something that, Rick would, I guess you didn't, maybe Rick did that. And Eric did that, a schedule of what was going on.
We include the schedule in the Friday report.
That was a whole, like, a day of this is going on, this is going on, and you can see if you wanted to attend.
It's usually
helpful.
All right.
So we're talking about some of bigger ideas that could perhaps happen in the more distant future. But our immediate decision is to decide the dates and times is what we have to figure out.
Correct.
At this point. So I think to focus on the time issue of my only. So my question was: I love the idea of making it accessible to parents who have childcare issues. My only concern is that, or question is, what's the impact then on the district staff to not be available for 3 or 4 hours during 2 or 3, because we're an efficient bunch, to not be to be in this meeting as opposed to, I guess there were meetings a lot all the time anyway. I don't know. I'm just curious what that would be like.
I think, you know, we like to consider the opportunity to pilot ideas. Mm-hmm. I think if the board wanted a couple months, you know, to try that out, I think it would balance, but I don't think staff would be opposed.
I was going to suggest we maybe choose.
There are districts that meet in the morning. It's not mm-hmm. as common, but there are many districts that do.
I was going to suggest just doing one and see how much we hear in terms of people who feel that on the flip side, you know, yes, right. We're trying to accommodate one group, but did we just disenfranchise a lot of working mm-hmm. folks that have daytime jobs? Or commitments, rather than trying to change up too much at one time. And if it's working, then we look ahead.
Well, what about, we've got that, the survey piece. We heard that company, why don't we do a survey?
Not April 21st.
And see, could this be something that could work in your schedule? It would be nice to know, because that's who we're trying to accommodate, is...
Before setting any dates.
That's what I think.
Time
then,
change.
Let the survey go out. Is this something that you would be, or is this not something that you... would be interested in, and then we could see how many people would want to attend something during the daytime, because they might say just the opposite, or I can't because I'm working. And there's always that flip side of that too.
How does
I think that's what gets balanced by the fact that we have evening meetings, and that there are people who can't come because of childcare.
Right.
Certainly, daytime meetings there will be people who can't.
Oh no, I meant if we do half or. You know, maybe do every third month.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
What do you think?
Even every other.
Yeah.
Well, one thing to think that I think about, though, in terms of... So I think it's a tough one, because for the most part, people come to the board meetings because there's something on the agenda
right.
that they're interested
That's
in.
True.
So we could offer the daytime meeting when there's nothing on the agenda that the person who needs the daytime accommodations... needs, but, but I'm also thinking about our parent committees, and those all happen during the day. So it's not as though there aren't. I know that it still might be someone isn't able to make what they want to make, but I know there's parents who can't be on district committees because mm-hmm. they meet during the day, and then there's parents
right.
who want to come to board meetings who can't. So I think that we're already accommodating to some degree a variation in schedule, but I'm certainly happy to pilot and. I don't think if we did one, it would be enough to necessarily tell if it was working or not. Maybe.
No.
I don't know.
Open. I guess the question.
We did check the calendar in case the board wanted to make a change. And really, in terms of upcoming meetings, the only one that would be impractical for would be April. So we would not be able to accommodate a morning meeting in April with the current date.
Would your recommendation be as far as how many daytime meetings you would want to perhaps try?
I would agree, I think, with President Hergesheimer. Just start with one, see how it goes logistically. I do think that might be something that we could look at getting some opinions on via thought exchange, both staff mm-hmm. and parent consideration. We really aren't at the point ready to roll that out. That is something that we want to use as a tool. We are learning it.
What about, you said we're changing that, what about changing April to the last day of the month, and then make that a more evening?
We customized this year's regular meeting schedule. It was difficult. Under 2B, our staff is asking to change, whether we change the time, but change the date of the August meeting mm-hmm. from August 20th to 27th. We researched with the trustees, and that was the most common date. Last year, we had our opening convocation on the same day as a board meeting.
Okay.
When we looked at the calendar and realized that was the logical date, looking at next year's calendar, it was a really long day for staff. I think it was also a long day for the board. So it looks like August 27th would work for all of you. And again, if we could do it at 5, or maybe that's another one you want to try doing in the morning. That's up
to
the board.
April, because that would be just before school ended. And
we've got a May 21st and a June 4th.
But that people are out the door.
How about June, since we have two June meetings? One could be in the morning, one could be in the evening.
But I think we should cancel one of the meetings.
No, we have, by statute now, we have to have two.
What is a short meeting?
Yeah.
Well, we have to have a hearing for the LCAP and the budget, and then a second meeting to take action.
And
so
we're right back to, we know there's always seems to be discussion topics that we need more time on. So I don't, I'm not in favor of trying to remove anything.
May?
I want to try maybe May with doing some surveying before. Or?
Well, the problem is we've got Memorial Day. That's the next weekend. It's a holiday. I mean, I'm just saying that's, you know, when kids are out and we will probably get low attendance on that meeting.
I'm sorry.
Unless you're changing March, we can do some research and bring this back in March. We still would like the action taken on August 27th. If you want to take action tonight, you can.
To do March.
You want to do March in the morning?
Yeah,
birthday.
That's a good enough reason, right?
We can do March in the morning. I'll defer to the board president when you're ready to move from 2A to 2B.
I do have one thing I should probably bring up because we discussed it. So there was an article in the newspaper that said that perhaps there were people that were inconvenienced or disgruntled about not having our exact times of when we will go to closed session, when we will come back to open session. And so hearing that, you know, it's our job to take feedback and to research it. And so we proposed that change. And can you explain why it is a good idea or not a good idea to do that? It's not just...
So the first issue is the Brown Act. So the Brown Act says we have to set the date and the time. The Brown Act is silent and doesn't, quite frankly, care what time you're in closed session or what time you're in open session. And so once we've said our regular meeting will start at 5, it needs to start at 5. So we could use tonight as an example. If we weren't adjourning into closed session, we would be sitting here until 5:30. If we tell the public, well, we're going to do open session at 5:30, we do the best we can to provide an estimate of how long closed session will be. The most common question we get is more like what time a certain item is going to be called. I've even heard that tonight. As we've done this a long time, we can make an educated guess, but we're never certain. So we kind of tell people, you know, we have the agenda, we go in order, we can give some guidance. I haven't fielded any questions about open session versus closed session. It's really generally like, well, what time do you think you'll get to 5E or 5K or 10H or whatever the case may be? And we work with the public as best we can.
I think putting it up and being very clear about it is important because most parents here have kids and have big children and have sports. And so I want to make sure we make good use of your time and make sure when they want to come here they can speak because they've got obligations for kids.
And we do accommodate that, yes.
Well, and we did shift our start time up since Superintendent Haley has come, in part so that if we do have to...
Well, we shifted the time of the actual start of the meeting to be compliant with the Brown Act, just to be clear. There have been times it started,
but we're being consistently earlier, more at 5 rather than... shifting between 5:45, 5:30, or 6. We did all sorts of shifts, so now we're at a set time. Okay, does that answer your question? Or
I think so.
Address
the
question?
Okay.
All right, so we will hear back in March about the...
No, I heard...
We want to do March early. Do March early.
And that was just...
We can. I mean, if everyone's available daytime in March. Yeah.
Madam President, may I make a motion that on March 19th we convene our meeting at 9 a.m. and then celebrate Mrs. Delson?
No. Can I ask that you...
Let us look at time, maybe.
Can I celebrate 9 o'clock. Can I ask that you also include in your motion, it's up to you, Trustee Mossy, to deal with August 20th, to move that meeting to August 27th?
Yes, and so additionally, I move that we move our August 20th meeting to August 27th, as well as changing the time on March 19th to 9 a.m.
Oh, that'd be good.
All right, so I have a motion. I have a second. Are there any further questions or comments?
No.
Oh, I have a question.
Sure.
If it works on March 19th, will we have... the option to change later
dates.
Times can change.
Yes.
Times.
Are we going to survey in order to determine that?
Well, you think you have questions by then? I think we should have staff there questions to the survey.
Yeah, I think they'll look into that process that they're starting to use. Okay. I forget the name of the survey.
Thought exchange.
Thank you. They'll look at that.
So I have a question on the thought exchange. Is that up and ready to go?
No, we're in the process of understanding it enough to roll it out.
So
we're working with them, getting training. We've had webinars.
Mm-hmm. So how soon are we looking at a point in time?
Let's wait till we get to the report section.
Okay.
And we'll address that.
All right, so I have a motion and a second with the two amended, the time on March 19th being 9 a.m. and the date changed to August 27th. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, that carries. Now, regarding closed session, we did not...
So read the second one. We will not be...
The board will not be adjourning to closed session at this time. The board will hold a closed session at the end of this evening's meeting under item 12. So everyone, please stay in the house. And...
So we'll go to 5.
That brings us to our student board members. We only have a couple of you here this evening, but if we could have your reports, please, beginning with Wendy.
Yeah, so LCC has been a very busy campus with students and staff working very hard while we all continue to transition smoothly into second semester. On February 1st, LCC had our winter formal at Paradise Point in Mission Bay, which had a very successful turnout with over 1,000 students who attended. As for arts, our theater department has been holding auditions for their spring play, A Monster Calls. And to celebrate Valentine's Day, ASB put on our annual heart attack, where we cut our hearts to write each student and staff member's name on one of them, and then we put them up around campus for everyone to find their own. On February 11th, we held our freshman information night that allowed middle schoolers to learn more about our school and to talk with our arts, academics, and athletics departments. And we had multiple IB presentations that everyone was also welcome to watch. Our spring sports season has officially begun, with some of our first games being this week, such as tonight we have our first girls lacrosse game. And our winter sports are also doing very well in their CIF games. We had another successful blood drive on campus yesterday with the San Diego Blood Bank. And our ASB class has been planning our morph dance, which is going to be held on March 20th in the gym. We've also begun planning our annual dodgeball tournament that students are welcome to participate in, which is the week-long tournament that is held in the gym from March 23rd to the 27th. For academics, our anatomy and physiology class has officially begun their second semester cat dissections. I know that our anatomy teacher, Ms. Childhouse, is excited enough for all of the students combined. And then finally, as February ends, seniors are still anxiously awaiting for more college acceptances to be released, and we're also still in our game of senior assassin.
Oh, how's it going?
Good. I'm still in.
All right.
And I know you may have some of the other student reports in your hands, but why don't we have Sarah report for Sunset first? And then
okay. Yeah, because I could do Cole's first, or...
That's fine. But just let Ms. Schultz know who your report...
If you could pull your mic down.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Can I do Cole's first?
Sure.
Okay, so this is from Cole Parker from Torrey Pines. He said, the last few weeks at Torrey Pines have been completely loaded with excitement and school spirit. It seems like every day there is another event to attend around campus. Last Friday was our annual Color Wars pep rally, where we had each grade dress up in a certain color and sit in the section of the gym. Then we engaged in a fun competitive activities, including basketball, dodgeball, and spike ball to crown the best class of the year. As always, the seniors took first place. Our winter sports have been absolutely dominant this year, as boys soccer and basketball will go for CIF Open Division Championships this weekend. Boys soccer defeated CCA and PKs, and will face Del Norte tomorrow night and boys basketball took down St. Augustine to move on to face Cathedral Catholic Saturday evening. Our girls' soccer and basketball teams also had very successful years, as girls' soccer will play tonight in the state playoff qualifier game at our last student senate meeting. We talked about the possible bell changes for next year, and everyone seemed excited for the potential changes. We also welcomed 8th graders and their parents for student info night as they prepared to attend high school next year. Next week is Yellow Ribbon Week, so we will be creating awareness for suicide prevention. Sorry I could not attend this evening's board meeting. I'm currently singing in the school musician musical Pippin.
Pippin.
And that's playing today through Saturday. Special thanks to President Mrs. Hergesheimer, who attended the play last week. Thanks, and that's all for Torrey Pines.
Okay. In for sunset.
Take a breath. Okay. Since our last board meeting, many positive events have continued to unfold on our campus. On January 27th, academic progress reports were mailed home to provide students and parents with updates on our grades. And on February 11th, there was a spring picture makeup day for new students and those who were absent during fall picture day. And so now we're all in the yearbook, so that's cool. And, there's a code on my phone, sorry. On February 20th, there was an info night for incoming 9th grade parents to provide them input regarding all things sunset. On February 21st, there was a sunset standout ceremony to recognize students with positive attitudes as well as academic achievements. Parents were invited to this supportive event. And on February 25th, volunteers stopped by to donate tomato plants for teachers to plant on campus. On March 2nd, we will start, this is my favorite, on March 2nd, we will start the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society donation drive. Our goal is to raise $800 to contribute to this wonderful cause. Staff advisors, and student groups that raise the most money will win a pasta dinner at school donated by Olive Garden. On March 11th, a special coffee with the principal event is scheduled for parents who are interested to come on school and enjoy coffee with Mr. Ayala. And finally, the construction for the new facility is going fantastic. I see it every morning, and it looks really good. That is all.
All right. Thank you. Wendy Miyazaki, did you have one for?
Yeah, I have one for Grace for SDA.
Okay, thank you.
So SDA began the month with Back to School Night, where ASB helped to direct the parents to their classes, which is always a fun way to squeeze in a little parent-student interaction. Then on February 9th, we had our winter formal at Port Pavilion. It was a beautiful venue, and the students had a memorable time with a creative Wonderland theme, magician, silent disco, and DJ dance floor with dancing pods. To celebrate Valentine's Day, we sold and delivered Valentine's grams and created a Valentine's wall in which each student could find their heart. The hearts were color-coordinated by grade, and it was adorable and made everyone feel really special. Throughout the month of February, we've been coordinating a dodgeball tournament where homerooms compete against each other. The finals will be this Friday during homeroom. On Wednesday of this week, we had John Pitikin come speak to second period classes for the teachers who chose to attend. And this Friday, we will also have our second semester club fair. Our news channel has been starting up again as well. These quick videos serve as an effective way for ASB to inform the student body through the viewing of the videos at homeroom about upcoming school events. It started off a little shaky, to be completely honest, but we'll get there. Additionally, our ASB class competed in our first monthly Random Acts of Kindness, where we placed posters around the school with strips of things like hope, love, and kindness, and encouragement, so that the students can take what they need and give what they can. Our ASB students are also working on creating and presenting leadership workshops to the ASB class to empower each other to become better leaders, and formulating our own connectedness projects to enhance our school community. Coming up in March, we're also looking forward to Senior Out, Talent Show, and Care for Care. And that's all.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. I believe that's all the student reports that we received this evening. So if Mrs. Muir would give us a report.
So I first want to give a shout out to Ken Harrison in the back row. He is the president of the Alumni SDA. So thank you for coming tonight. And I'm referencing one of your articles that you did in the reader. Is that I'm on the facilities committee. I attend the district facilities committee meeting. Present was the superintendent, John Edelman, board member Kristen Gaspar, and superintendent Halo. It was presented by the superintendent that he wanted to rehab the district office and rent it out. And I mentioned your article is that we have all these businesses that are going out of business in Encinitas, and that if we were going to the renting, we might have a real difficult time renting this office because of all the nine businesses. You referenced Chili's, Payway, Subway. A lot of businesses have gone in business this year. John Edelman, who is here tonight, our facilities person, said that there was about a $2 million worth of rehab work to be done at the building. I asked them that each item of the rehab be graded and was used for emergency or ADA compliance. I also asked the district office upgrades be put in the overall district upgrades plan, so everything would go into with all the sites.
Ms. Muir, could I ask you to put this with when we discuss this as an item on our agenda?
Well, I think most of these people are going to leave tonight, and so I'm going to make sure that they know if you leave that this is a really big issue that's going into the district office and rehabbing this, writing it, and selling and removing it.
But it's an agenda item, so let's save the discussion.
Well, I'm discussing what happened at the meeting. And so then I also asked the district office upgrades we put into our overall district upgrade plan. And John Edelman did give that to me. I got this morning from Superintendent Haley. I just asked him how much he would afford. He said that we could not afford that. I asked that we put paint on the walls and maybe do flooring, like what we do at home. You know, cut costs and put all that money back into our kids. Is that the superintendent has also said that he wanted a new district office at Earl Warren. It would be approximately $15 to $20 million. He said that it would be for collaboration with staff and multimedia rooms, and there would also be meetings with the teachers. The superintendent asked if he should go forward. I said absolutely not. He then said, okay, and I thought this topic was dropped.
All right, I am going to ask you to stop because we cannot respond because it's not
I'm
at the agenda
talking
item.
About what happened
so please share other items on the
is
the
that
calendar.
I was at the meeting and that's what happened.
Understood.
But I do want to say we don't have a strategic plan for going forward to master facility plan, so we know where our budgeting for the next 5 years. Also, you know, Jenny Oakman said we couldn't afford it. We're in the red at this
time. Do you
time.
Have any other items?
Also,
I'd like to call on our next board members.
And also, we need more teachers. And, you know, there's parents that come forward. They want space on Earl Warren for baseball and for soccer. And you know what? They've been asking for a pool forever. My gosh, our kids are driving to Coronado and up to Carlsbad. And so we should put our kids first. They may ask for a
pool. We will not respond to this right now because it will be on our agenda later. Would you like to
for
share
future reference, may I ask a quick question, Dr. Haley? Is what I understand why Ms. Muir wanted to share those thoughts, but is there an issue with the Brown Act to do so? Is there a requirement for us to only talk about what's on the agenda in the order it's presented to us?
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, I think we were discussing a meeting and just letting the people know it's already on the agenda to elaborate what happened. So thanks for listening, guys. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right, our next board member will report, please.
Okay, so I've been out and about a little bit, like my fellow trustees. Attended a gender review, met with our auditor, attended the Parent Curriculum Advisory Committee, hosted a book club on parenting with some community members. But I have to say, my favorite thing that I did was yesterday. When I had the privilege of attending CCA, I had heard from a couple different people in the community about some things going on at CCA and how not only were the teachers amazing, but what they were doing with their students was also being applied outside of CCA, involving the neighborhood, involving the workplace, involving actual real-life experiences that the kids were part of. And just a side note, I was able to tour any classrooms that I wanted, but it was great. There was a whole list of classrooms for us to see. I saw kids doing incredible projects. I saw logos being made for local community organizations that were being turned into patches, online stores. I mean, things that I didn't have, I'd heard about them, but when I saw them firsthand, this is extraordinary. And the teachers that we have working with these kids are extraordinary. And they're going out and finding these businesses and creating these liaisons. It was everything I'd heard, but more. So it just inspired me and just made me want to stay all day. But with all that, even while we were just walking around campus, I took a picture. There were post-it notes all over campus, on the ground, on drinking fountains, that were just positive and uplifting. And so I just really appreciate the opportunity to see that behind the scenes. I wish that we all could. And
so you didn't say what it said. It says you were
artist. Oh, sorry. It does. Sorry.
That's powerful.
Yeah. Thanks. But there are a bunch of them.
What did it say?
You are enough.
You are enough. Mm-hmm. And you are.
And you are.
Thank you. Ms. Stone. Thank you, Ms. Massey.
I had a whole bunch of quick things. Went to the parent curriculum advisory committee meeting. One thing I did that was really enjoyable, I had brunch with our former superintendent, Ken Noah.
Oh, how's he doing?
He's great. It was just so great to catch up with him. Really, really enjoyed visiting with him. Melissa and I went to audit information meeting. I went to the parent site rep council meeting. For the very first time ever, and this is something that I'm just so excited that we're now doing, I attended the Carlsbad City School Liaison Committee meeting. We have LCC in Carlsbad, and for years we've had liaison meetings with other elementary districts, specifically, that we have in common. Salon Beach stands out because they're the most loyal at having their meetings go regularly. Anyway, it was really fascinating, and the Carlsbad the school board and city staff really want this to continue as a regular committee, which is really nice. I went to a meeting with staff, notably Mr. Adelman, regarding the North Coast Repertory Theater being interested in placing a theater on the property next to or near Earl Warren, next to the possible district office. I had coffee with Rob, the agenda review, and well, two things. I got a letter from Robin and Mike Coy, who had attended Pippin, and they were just over the moon over how great that play is at Torrey, and they really urged that the school board attend. There are only two performances left, the 28th and the 29th, tomorrow and the next day. But if possible, it sounds like it's a really, really great performance. And then the CCA put on a presentation. Actually, it was not CCA that put it on. It was the
Grateful Connections.
Grateful Connections, thank you. Had a wonderful evening showing the film The First Day, which is all about identifying issues with drugs and alcohol for kids for the very first day they embark on it, rather than trying to solve it after they have been hooked or it's been a very long time. It's getting in at the very beginning, and his presentation was powerful, really powerful. And it was such a well-edited film where you saw him at school after school after school with student audiences just gripped by what he was saying, and some kids in tears and other kids, you know, obviously in pain, It was really amazing. And they are doing that LCC
in March.
And so, I highly recommend it.
So I have a comment on that. Is I went and met with Janelle yesterday, and she's with American Heart Association. And she said that Stephanie and Heather reached out to her, and it's great because then the American Heart Association, in conjunction with that, can tell them about what happens, and they're reaching out community to all these great community resources.
There were a number of community resources present, so that at the beginning and actually also after, but before the film, and afterwards, there were many community resources present that you could get information from them.
It was
an excellent evening of information.
Thank you, Ms. Delsandra.
I attended our parent site rep council meeting with our PTA foundation and school site council folks who serve on those different entities. I got to spend a whole day working on LCAP with Brian and Julie, and I think I did perhaps get to see the first unveiling of Thought Exchange. It was really, really cool. I'm very excited, so I think you'll love it when you see it, Mrs. Muir. And then we got to also, the nice content of that day was LCAP Goal 4, so looking really deeply into some of our California Healthy Kids survey data and things like that, so I learned a lot. And then I went to the CTE showcase with President and Dr. Haley last week at Torrey Pines, and again, just got to, two student groups shared their projects. We met some of our industry partners that make those programs possible. There's a new one with metalworking and jewelry. It makes me want to go back to school myself. And the funny thing is that the fire alarm went off during the presentation because of a hairspray incident in the dressing room at Pippin. And Cole, my understanding is Cole has 6 solos in it. I have to look for not being here today. That's all I have.
Well, I think I'll just stick with a couple of the highlights, which for me were also that CTE showcase. We honored 4 of our own teachers for their particular projects this year that they've been working on. As Ms. Gibson said, we saw some student presentations, and we also honored a couple of our community partners, and I'm really impressed and pleased with the ongoing development of new courses, finding ways to create the additional courses that make it a pathway, not just a class. And so I think we can be proud of what's being done, and if you have the opportunity in the future to attend that evening, I'd recommend it. And then, as was mentioned, I was at Friday evening's performance of Pippin, and the Coys were sitting in front of me. Their daughter, Lauren, I believe, was home from Cal Poly, so that she could...
So how were the solos? How did Cole do?
He is a fine singer and actor, and it was really fun. It's actually a show I hadn't seen. I've seen a lot of musicals, so it was fun to see one that was all new, you know, and I could understand the words, and I followed the story, so it was charming. And yes, if you get a chance in the next 2 evenings, I'd recommend you get there.
What time does it start?
I want to say 7.
I'm sure it's on their website.
And they have an online website link, and get your name in there, or communicate with Marini if you need to. She'll get you signed in. So, and then I shared with our board, but we have a fellow Encinitas board member, Marla Stritch, who had an accident this past week. So she's recovering. I'm going to be seeing her this coming week. I've dropped a few things by, and I'll certainly share all of them. I meant to bring a card so we could have a slide of it. But hopefully, concussion, some hearing loss. She had a fracture walking her dog. So it's, you know, just a reminder how quickly these accidents can happen. And so I will maybe try to get a card or something else for us to get to her this coming week. And wind up my report and ask for our superintendents.
Since we last met, a group of us went to Furniture Expo in Anaheim, sponsored by Culver Newland.
Yes.
And saw some amazing new kind of cutting-edge furniture out there for classrooms and schools. looking for an opportunity to replicate it perhaps closer and take some teachers and students and let them kind of crawl all over it and explore it. Really envisioning a new way for students and teachers to set up rooms for better collaboration, for small group instruction. Students who have issues with attention, just the ability to move, which not students, adults like me, if you ever, you know, see me in a meeting, I'm always rocking back and forth or side to side. And so there's really a lot that we can do with furniture to help accommodate different learning styles. So actually looking at bringing in some of this type of furniture at our new Sunset High School and to be named later in the evening, adult transition program. And we've experimented with different types of furniture at some of our schools, Pacific Trails. And when we were on our tour at Canyon Crest Academy, they have some ideas for re-envisioning how some of our labs are put together. So this is definitely the direction we want to go. We're much more involving our educational services division, working with our facilities. Wow, I was getting used to it.
That was me.
It's peaceful. So we'll look for more opportunities for people to see this kind of stuff. And if there's a school that is worth visiting, we can set that up. Also, you may recall I'm on the Board of Managers for the CIF San Diego section. And since we last met, I went participate in the selection process. We have a new commissioner. His name is Joe Heintz. Longtime educator, coach in our area, very well respected. Definitely from my interactions and paper screening, I think he's going to do an outstanding job. Also continue to participate and represent the district at the North Coastal Consortium for Special Education. Mm-hmm. Was at the superintendent symposium in the end of January. Unfortunately, due to district events, I spent quite a bit of the time on the phone. It reminded me of what an amazing team we have, and we're really able to keep our teachers and our schools focused on working with our students, and we've got a team to deal with other incidents that do come at our organization every now and then, and so that was a good reminder. The City of Carlsbad meeting, I agree. I didn't get to stay the whole time because of that same incident, but I was really impressed with the amount of intentionality that they put into that meeting. The City of Carlsbad has San Marcos Unified, Carlsbad Unified, Encinitas Union, San Diego. I guess that was it. And so they had to really coordinate. They were very prepared. I thought it was outstanding. We do meet regularly and did with City of Encinitas. I was at the showcase. I will give one shout out to Urban Plates. That's one of the industry partners. They sponsored that night, provided food. They work very closely with our CTE program and go above and beyond.
And there's a barbecue club.
Yes.
Tory Pines.
I told them I'm willing to volunteer and provide some coaching and assistance. I consider myself a grill man. So, and then Grateful Connections was very powerful. I thought the movie was powerful. I thought the panel afterward was powerful. I know there's another one next week. I put that on our social media feed. I really encourage parents to go with their kid. And I love the fact that I saw a lot of parents there with their kids. And then was at an event with the Canyon Crest Academy, their spring parent event, in addition to being at not repeating all of the other events that I've been at with everybody else. So.
One thing I want to say about the furniture, can we get feedback from the kids that go to that? I'd like to see if all the words their expectation or what they thought ahead, and then afterwards after mm-hmm. trying the furniture. That'd be helpful. Thank you.
All right. Thank you all. Brings us to, do we have some public comments slip here? If Tiffany Rathbun is here, if you'd come please to the podium, and you'll have 3 minutes to share.
Thank you for listening to me. My name is Tiffany Rathbun. I have an eighth grader at Pacific Trails Middle School, and she has had the privilege of doing ISPE, which is Independent Physical Education, this year. And this year, the school district issued a number of changes at the beginning of the application window, and the application window is quite short. It didn't allow my daughter enough time to be able to meet the requirements. And she really loves the independent study physical education. It has allowed her to become more independent. She has to collaborate with her instructor. She also has to set goals, revise goals. She has to submit logs to the school and write essays in a timely manner. And it brings her so much joy and happiness. And I just wanted to come today because I am saddened that this may be going away for her. In addition, the requirements that you have set forth with the United States Equestrian Federation would actually require her to miss quite a bit of school, which I think is contrary to the education code. For example, the thermals, which are running right now, they run for 9 weeks up in Thermal, California. Mm-hmm. And in addition to having to pull her out of school for these types of shows, they can range, like the thermals range between $5,000 and $9,000 a week.
Right.
And so that really is catering to the wealthy and not to the children. She's very serious about her sport. She has gotten more out of ISPE this year than what she got out of the seventh grade PE class. There was a lot of phone time in PE that first year, a lot of talking with friends. It just wasn't good physical education. This makes her extremely happy, motivated. It is really good for her mental health as well as her physical health. She couldn't make it tonight because she has an ear infection and has had a fever and has missed school, unfortunately. But she wanted me to tell you that doing ISPE actually gives her more time to study, and that's of great concern to her because she will be starting high school. She spends, on average, about 6 to 9 hours a week doing her writing. And by not having to go to that PE class, she can take that time to study. And it allows her to do something that she enjoys, brings her happiness. And she can ride in the winter when it gets too dark to ride because there are no lights where we ride. And so anyway, thank you very much. I hope you guys will consider it.
Thank you for coming this evening. Brings us to our consent agenda. And members of the public are entitled to comment on items on the consent agenda. Trustees may ask for additional information regarding items on the consent agenda. And items on the consent agenda will be voted on in one motion unless a member of the board, staff, or public requests that the item be removed and voted on separately, in which case the board president will determine when it will be called and considered for action. Are there any requests for public comment this evening?
None.
No. All right. Then do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda item 9A as presented?
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. Are there any further questions or comments? Then all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, that carries unanimously. And let's
see. 9B.
Brings us to consent agenda 9B as presented. It will be voted on by the elected board members only. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda item 9B as presented?
I thought we're going to be discussing this later.
I'll go to get a motion and then we can have questions or comments.
Okay. So
I have a motion from Ms. D'Alessandro. Did I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mrs. Muir. Are there further questions or comments? Or did we have
No.
Okay. Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, that carries unanimously. Brings us to action items. Do I have 10A, acceptance of our 2018-19 annual audit. Are there any requests for public comment? All
right, then this evening we have our auditor here to present us with some information and answer any questions from the trustees. So we will start.
So you'll take that prior to asking for a motion?
That's okay. What I'm doing. So did we have the introduction? Thank you.
We have Aubrey here, who is one of our internal, our external auditors from Wilkinson Hadley King. So she's here to present the audit report. What I want to point out, and she can talk a little bit more in detail, one of the things that you'll notice that's different from prior years is the inclusion of financial information from our four foundations at the comprehensive high schools. That has been included in the audit report, which has not been in the past. And then one finding that we did have this year was in relation to our vacation accrual. So we have policies in place that say that we can only allow employees to carry so much vacation, and some of those vacation balances are higher than where they should be. So we've already been working at addressing that, and we'll have plans in place to take care of that by the end of June 30. That could cross over into the next school year. But I wanted to bring those two items up to you, and I'll let Aubrey go ahead and talk about the audit.
Good evening.
Thank you.
I'm glad to be here to present to you the results of the audit for the fiscal year ended June 30, 2019. And before I go into the results, I just wanted to thank the staff here at San Diego for the time that they commit to the audit. The audit begins in April, and this year finished at the end of January. So it's a good portion of the year. It consumes a lot of time and involves multiple departments, multiple sites. So we really appreciate the cooperation that the staff has provided to us. We issued an unmodified opinion on the financial statements, which means that these financial statements do fairly represent the financial position of the district and can be relied upon. We did have one audit finding, which Tina mentioned, regarding vacation balances. We audited 16 state compliance programs and two federal compliance programs, none of which had audit findings. But while I'm talking about compliance, since you earlier discussed going to morning meetings, I would like to just caution you that if you have a public hearing, that has to be held not during school hours or not immediately following school hours.
So appreciate the caution.
So, you know, just something to mention, and then I'm here to answer any questions you might have about the audit.
So I have two questions.
Yes.
Did you discover anything regarding the financial statements or internal financial management procedures that you should be brought to the attention of the board?
We did have one audit finding, which is being brought to the attention of the board, finding 2019-001, and we did not identify any other internal control deficiencies.
And so was the management team cooperative, forthcoming in the requested information and documents, everyone that you spoke to?
Yes, the management team was cooperative.
So you think this is a good audit and that you feel good about us passing this audit?
Yes, you received the highest opinion that can be offered in an audit.
Okay, thank you.
I was posed this question and from a constituent, so I'm just going to ask it.
Sure.
Because they asked me to. Is the financial health of our district improving or deteriorating?
That's a loaded question. Let me turn to a couple of pages that I can use to demonstrate that. So on the statement of activities, the change in net position was a decrease of $15.8 million. A large portion of that is due to the growing underfunding of the pensions with CalSTRS and CalPERS and the amounts that get reported on your financial statements. Those are very long-term items. So when you're looking at making decisions, the fund financial statements are...
Just to be clear on that, just because that's some of the questions that we had coming into the meeting, that's a state liability, not our liability.
Okay, so with the net pension liability, It's the CalSTRS and CalPERS liabilities. So those are obligations of CalSTRS and CalPERS of which you are members. Mm-hmm. If they went bankrupt, you could potentially be liable to fill in that gap.
But none of the decisions that this board makes or staff brings to this board has any impact on that. Those decisions are made at the state level. There's nothing we could do to change that.
No,
just wanted to be clear.
Those are decisions made at the state level. And the reason they get included on your financial statements are because of the implementation of GASB Statement 68, which became effective a few years ago, which requires all governments to show their proportionate share of that liability. Those liabilities are those... Pensions are about 80% funded currently, and the state is looking at pension reform to fill that gap so that they're fully funded. So it's not currently expected that that liability will ever be asked to be paid for by the district.
Okay,
so
thank you. That clears that up.
And as far as our level of fiscal health of the district, would you feel confident in saying that we're very healthy?
How about I'll put it this way. We determined that you would be able to meet your financial obligations in the coming next 3 years.
Thank you very much.
Yes, what I was going to say. If there are no further questions, I would say thank you very much that most of the board members had some sort of question when we saw the report in, so it's nice to have had the opportunity to have our smaller discussions prior to this meeting. Appreciate your coming this evening also.
Great.
Thank you.
So, I need a motion to accept the 2018-19 annual audit. Thank you. Do I have a second?
A second.
Thank you. Or were there any further questions or comments from staff or anyone? All those in favor say aye.
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 I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm going to say that motion carries. And now, prepare yourself, Kristen. Call a public hearing and consideration of approval of our resolutions. We have two of them for statutory fee increase with and without urgency.
Are no requests?
There's no requests for public comments. So prepare yourself. I'm going to close the hearing. And do I have a motion to adopt the two resolutions levying fees on our development projects without urgency, becoming effective in 60 days, and with urgency, with the 30-day maximum, with a renewal as presented?
Move approval.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Are there any further questions or comments on this item?
Yes, I just want to clarify this is mandated by the state.
That is correct.
I'm going to call the question. So all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Item C is consideration of our revised board policy, Series 3000 for business. Any requests for public comment on this item?
None.
Do I have a motion to approve the annual updates, revisions, and deletions to board policy Series 3000 business as presented? Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. Any further questions or comments?
So I'm clear, this is actually a savings that goes back to the taxpayer.
All right. So if there are no other questions or comments, I'll ask the question. All in favor say aye. In favor say aye, and you know what you're voting for now. Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Brings us to item D, consideration of the resolution authorizing the issuance of and sale of not to exceed $150 million aggregate principal amount of general obligation refunding bonds of the San Diego Union High School District. Did we have any requests for comment on this item?
No.
Do I have a motion to adopt the resolution of the Board of Trustees?
So this is this bond is just for, you accept. You want to say something about
that? Well, I was just going to ask if I can get the motion, and then we can have discussion. Thank you. Do I have a second?
Okay.
Thank you. Now, questions or comments? I will say I've spoken with staff and confirmed that
that this would have a cost savings to our taxpayers. It would also allow us to accelerate some projects under Prop AA. And so personally, I'm comfortable. But if we have further questions.
So this is just our present, the ones that are identified, not any new projects.
Taking advantage of interest rates for savings, just like folks who might refinance a home. Or
fairly significant amount.
Yes, yeah, $7.5 million.
How much are you talking about that we'll have savings?
About $7.5 million savings to the taxpayers.
Oh, perfect. Thank you.
All right. Any further questions or comments? Then all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Brings us to item E, which is consideration of approval of agreement, partial architectural engineering services for the proposed district educational center. And we do have some public comment slips, speaker slips here?
Yes.
Okay. So we generally allow 20 minutes on a topic. I have 10 speaker slips. So if you can keep your, you're allowed 3 minutes as an individual, but if you can keep your comments to under that, we'll do as many as we can in the 20 minutes. Or if you find you're saying something that's already been said, you can also just quickly say. Well, actually, that'd be a good idea. If we could go to 2 minutes apiece and do all 10.
We're allowed to run into the Brown Act for 3 minutes, please.
Well,
I think that's fair. Let's hear what you have to say.
Let's leave it at three then. We'll do see how far we get, and we'll have that conversation at that point.
Right.
See if we need any longer. Is that
acceptable? I believe it is up to the board if we choose to extend.
Right.
Right. Yes.
Well, I don't think there are many parents ever come here, so thank you for coming tonight, because usually we don't have anyone here, so I hope to hear from all of you.
All right, so the first, I'm going to read a few names. Maybe I will go ahead just to keep it moving. I will read a few names, so if the person who's up first and maybe one or two people behind can be prepared behind the podium so we can step right up to it. And if there's sentiment in the seats out there in support of something, if you can just indicate just by waving your hands, we can see you. It doesn't interrupt the speaker and lets things keep moving a little faster. So the first up would be Joseph Lim, and if Jeff Lyle and Greg Petrie would be ready to speak as soon as the time is called. Thank you.
Good evening, board members. My name is Joseph Lim. I'm the Community Development Director for the City of Solana Beach. So thank you for letting me speak this evening. I wanted to present a letter that was prepared by our city manager today. I'll just give a brief synopsis of what's included in that letter. On February 3rd, the city manager and myself met with the Executive Director of Planning Services, John Adelman, and we appreciate his time coming out to the city, where we discussed the proposal and feasibility analysis that was presented to the district last year regarding the possibility of relocating the administrative offices to Earl Warren. At that time, we discussed keeping the city apprised of any actions that the board might be considering. So we were a little surprised to find out about this week through the newspaper as opposed to maybe getting a phone call or a letter. But that said, we're here. And we just wanted to remind the district and the district staff about the obligations to comply with the city's zoning and land use provisions under the general plan, and then any permits that would require, in addition to the ones that were identified in the feasibility analysis and study that was completed last year, beyond CEQA and the California Coastal Commission. The construction of an administrative building at the Earl Warren facilities may include requiring a development review permit, structure development permit, conditional use permits, and other encroachment permits, depending on what the project, if this board decides to move forward on that. So I just wanted to let you know, we look forward to working with the board and the district staff, should you decide to move forward, and we're happy to talk about what those processes are to obtain and go through the process of obtaining a permit through the city.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jeff Lyle, please, followed by Greg, and then Shannon Kearns.
Thank you for the time. I'll be pretty fast.
Thank you.
I'm the president of the Solana Beach Soccer Club. It seems like forever, but it's only been about 7 years. And we need fields. So I'm here just to, as a big proponent of fields for the kids after school, whether it's organized sports or even disorganized sports, where they can just go and play and have fun. Kids learn a lot from, you know, learn how to compete, learn how to make, you know, that making mistakes is okay in sports, builds character. There are a lot of things that I think we can all agree on. As for soccer specifically, with as the fall season, we just play in the fall. As the fall season goes on, it gets darker and darker earlier and earlier. And so we have a lot of issues with fields really starting right around Halloween, maybe the week before Halloween. And in November, we even have teams that just decide they can't practice. We just don't have enough time slots for them that are convenient for the families. We also, right now, teams are only practicing once a week. I know a lot of coaches would like to practice twice a week. Because some kids can make one day but might not be able to make another day for different conflicts and that sort of thing. So I urge you to keep the field a field for our kids. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, thank you. Greg Petrie, Shannon Kearns, and then Patrick German.
Thank you. My name is Greg Petrie, and I'm a native of Solana Beach. I grew up in the San Diego Unified School District, going to both Oral Warren and Torrey Pines, including all my siblings. And now I have children in the same program who have been to Oral Warren. One is at Oral Warren, one's at CCA, and the other one will probably go to Torrey Pines. I'm here to adamantly support keeping the fields and not building a new district office building for many of the same reasons. I'm also a seven-year coach of Del Mar Little League, and I often have the same issues with either we have to practice way far away from the community, we don't have lights, so we have to run practice short. But mostly, you know, in an area of online social isolation, teams matter. It's one of the things that helps offset that. You know, in an era of growing inactivity, fields matter. In an era of polarization, community matters. And that's how you build community, from the child up. And in an era of ever-growing density, open space matters. And, you know, I live in Del Mar. We're about to tear down the grade school that my kids have gone to, and there's a huge fight over how much field is going to be left. It's the same fight. And the community really supports keeping open space for active kids. It matters. And putting an office building there does not matter. And you shouldn't do it. And I'm here to support keeping it the way it is and then further developing it into a sports complex that we can be proud of. The school, when I went there, looked old then, 35 years ago. It's beautiful now, and it should have the fields to match it. Instead of a fallow field, it could be developed into something we can all be proud of. I run a business out of Solana Beach. I know we would sponsor part of the fees to do that. I could probably speak to 50 other residents who would contribute, and businesses, to make it something we're proud of. Right now, we have to go to Poway Unified to find a decent baseball field. Why? We have the fields right now, whether they're soccer or baseball or beach volleyball or an upgraded track. We have a nationally ranked Pop Warner football team that could practice there. It's also on an industrial street where we could have lights. We can't have that in most places, and it could solve that nighttime program. I can tell you half the kids in my baseball team I haven't even seen yet because they have conflicts with the time, the one time a week we can practice. Having a second time would solve that problem. Being able to practice later in the evening would solve that problem. So I urge you to keep the field and further develop it into something we can be proud of.
Thank you for winding it up. Shannon Kearns, Patrick German, and it looks like Gene Pope, I believe, is the third name.
Does it work?
No.
So I just have to yell? Okay, so Pat and I, this is the first time we perform.
That doesn't work?
No, you just have to talk loudly. I can do that. Hold on.
In Solana Beach, open space is at a premium. Besides the Harbaugh Trail on the north side of town, open space does not exist. The city of Solana Beach does not have a single field big enough to play an organized sport. Our community relies on its relationship with both this school district and the Solana Beach School District in order to do so. This year, Solana Beach Soccer leased Earl Warren Soccer Field because it's the only field big enough for middle school age kids to play soccer in our town. Historically, Earl Warren has had two fields, the track and this field. It has historically been rented out. It has been rented out to Little Leagues. It has been rented out to Del Mar baseball teams. As I said, this part has been rented out to Solana Beach Soccer. I talked to the staffer who used to be in charge of renting the field. She said it was frequently rented and used. These two fields at Irwin are comparable but are not bigger than what the other middle schools in our district have. Over the past few days, I visited all the schools, and here's what I found. This is a CVMS field. The school is located next to a Boys and Girls Club with basketball courts. I think it's important to see what a substantially large field they have. They also have a sand volleyball court and a field improvements that cost $1.8 million. Pacific Trails also has a large field. I couldn't fit it in all the pictures. It's next to CCA, which has volleyball fields. Pacific Trails is also next to a park. At Oak Crest, there are two huge fields overlooking the ocean. You've seen them. DeGaino has a baseball field and a track.
Yeah.
And they have a batting cage. All of these schools have outdoor fields and facilities as big or bigger than what Earl Warren currently has. I would like to point out is both Encinitas and Carmel Valley have parks. They have designated spaces in their town where they can play, not being dependent on a school. And so here's Earl Warren. This is the track. This is the lower field, which used to house the baseball field. Notice how the play field is larger than the soccer field. You aren't taking just a piece of our field and open space. You are practically taking the entire thing. Get that one, Pat. And you knew this. On your own map and your own packet of documents, you recognize this area as a playfield. So now we are asking that Earl Warren be given the same access to outdoor space as every other middle school kid in our district. And if built, consider what the building would look like. Picture it from a kid's perspective. My son used to launch rockets in science from that field. Imagine when your teacher says that you can't launch rockets because the PE class needs the field and there isn't any outdoor space. Once this land is gone, it is gone. At the end of the day, this is a vanity project that takes away play fields from students in the community and has nothing to do with serving students. The kids get nothing. Many of us agree that had we known, if we voted for this proposition, we would lose open space, lose our fields, and have our students have considerably less open space than every other school in the district, we would not have voted for the proposition. In a September 26th interview with the Del Mar Times, trustee Kristen Gibson said, and I quote, "Board members need to come together as a unified team to make decisions in the best interest of students." I voted for her. I relied on that. This project is clearly not in the best interest of students, and I encourage you to vote no.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have Patrick. Patrick German. Sean Pope?
I'm going to try to make this as quick as possible. Okay. If you could just reset it. Okay. I'm here begging once again to ask you to stop this project immediately. This is a complete waste of our taxpayer money on a superfluous project. You have no budget allocated. Where will you be able to find $21 million? Your calculations for Proposition AA are way off and underfunded. You could not budget properly for Proposition AA. We all know that the costs for this project could reach over $30 million. Your idea to rent out this building doesn't make sense. You are not in the business of property management or real estate. You are a school district's job, whose job is to serve, protect, and educate our children. May I point out that Visage slashed their budget twice in 2 years for over $25 million. 90% of this was teachers and personnel. They fired their superintendent shortly after this. Sweetwater District just announced a $30 million budget deficit. You have been deceitful and have been hiding from the public for the last 2 months. This only became public 9 months ago when the Del Mar Times broke the story. It is infuriating. You're now spinning this as an educational building while the antenna has always been an administrative building. You are doing this so you can skirt zoning issues to fast-track this project. When I spoke in November, I figured you'd come to your senses and abandon this dumb idea. Who builds something when they don't have money in place? You've already wasted $150,000. Now you want to waste $350,000 more when you have no budget in place while other school districts are financially imploding. It is fiscally irresponsible so that the superintendent can have a kitchenette, his own wing, and a gym and wellness center that will be used by a few admins and not the children. You are stealing this land from the children. When Earl Warren was originally built in the 1950s, this land was intended for children, and it should remain that way. I should not have to remind you that you have a fiduciary responsibility to our children. After analyzing the traffic studies for Earl Warren and Skyline being rebuilt, they're way off. Santa Fe Christian, Skyline, Earl Warren, St. James, Solana Vista, CDC, and five other preschools caused gridlock in and around Earl Warren. Solana Beach has more buildings per capita more than any other city in the county. A traffic study would immediately kill this project. Our local sports organizations rely heavily on our schools as we have no parks. If you vote yes to waste this money, then I will see to it personally that you are removed of your positions, either by votes, petitions, or violating job or your fiduciary responsibilities to our children or by any means necessary. Those who plan to vote no, thank you. This land is for the kids. Solana Beach Little League and Del Mar Little League are losing their fields due to the school upgrades that they're being rebuilt. These Little Leagues will need a place to play, and this is a perfect spot. I've spoken to the commissioner for Torrey Pines, Pop Warner, Powerhouse Baseball, Solana Beach Soccer, FNA Flag Football, Mustangs Rugby, and they are all in dire need of field space. Besides these eight nonprofit organizations who can use these fields, I have calls from five other youth sports organizations who have mentioned that they can use these fields as well. I'm almost done. I will personally help raise money to get organizations to turn these into revenue generators for the district. This project is a money pit of over $20 million and will generate no additional revenue.
Right. I'm going to be able to allow other folks to speak. I need you to wind up.
And do what you think is best for the students. Please keep the land for them.
Thank you. So I have Shauna McGarry.
Did you skip this one?
Did I skip one?
I don't know.
This one?
Okay. The gentleman who just spoke, can I have your name, please?
Patrick Tremont.
Then I got.
I have that one.
Okay, I'm confused. Okay, gentleman at the, can you tell me your name?
Sean Pope.
Sean Pope, okay. Then it would be Shauna McGarry, David, I believe it's Zero, and Heidi Duar, if we have time.
My name's Sean Pope. I've been living in Solana Beach and I'm a small business owner in Solana Beach for the past 21 years. My current occupation, I'm in real estate financing. I'm a developer. I'm adamantly opposed to this project, mainly because of a lot of the things that were said here, that it is open space for the children and for the community, and it's fiscally irresponsible. As part of my career, I've had the pleasure of working with public entities, and unfortunately, most of the community doesn't know the ugly truth about public versus private development. And I'm going to give you a small example. Canyon Crest built same time as Cathedral Catholic. Cost of Canyon Crest, rough numbers, $110 million. Public money that we all funded. Cathedral, $55 million. Half the cost to build a private building. And if you've been to either campus, nothing against Canyon Crest, but Cathedral's very nice. Very nice. You got to stop spending money. This is ridiculous. If you were investing in the project and you decided to put skin in the game and you thought it was a good investment, I think more of the public would be on board. And I say that because with all my investments, I send out a proposal to you. We're going to look at the numbers. You're going to build a $20 million building and there's going to be no return on that investment. No one in their right mind would build a $20 million building on a site like that. It's fiscally irresponsible to the public, especially when we're paying for the building. Even if you get into debt, no one's going to want to do that. There's great ideas. The open space, if done properly, and I'll give you an example. I was part of Solana Beach Little League. I raised $180,000, built the whole snack shack, redid all that facility up there on public money as a partnership with the school district of Solana Beach. Didn't take a dime from any of the public funds. If you guys partner with the public, you can build that facility as a sports facility and actually generate revenue. There's tons and tons of teams that want to rent the facility. There's adult leagues, there's no gym, there's so many good options to go ahead and build that facility and gain your investment back within, I'd say, a five-year period. That's fiscally responsible. People do not invest in $20 million projects without getting a return. There's no return for the public, absolutely no return for the public. I get that you guys want a better office. You have an 18,000 square foot facility. I'm not saying don't refurbish it. This is your facility, you're not in a real estate business. I have had many partners in our dealings and development decide that they want, big corporations want to start buying property, developing property. It's gone awry. They lose money. They don't know what they're doing. You guys are doing a great job with the kids, with the teachers. Continue to do that. Refurbish this building. Build a community facility. I'll show you how to get a return on it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Shauna McGarry. David Seymour.
Hi. Thank you. I want to first submit this petition that Shannon Kieran started to save the open space. It was just, is this on?
No, it talks about
it. Okay. It was just circulated for a few days and received 469 signatures. I think that's pretty impressive, but we could get a lot more if need be. Anyhow, I also strongly oppose this field space being built into an updated central district office. I understand you have needs for that, but we moved just behind Skyline, and I have a first and a fourth grader. I would really like them to be able to walk to this school, but it's hard to imagine sending my kids to a school with so little play space. It's hard to imagine how all the PE and sports would be accommodated once this building was built. It's just looking at the renderings that were put out on October 30th, the footprint is humongous, and the parking space footprint is even bigger. As an environmentalist, it's hard for me to wrap around my head around building 116 parking spaces where there's valuable play space. One last thing, I hope you'll find another way to meet the goals you have for this updated district office. Thank you.
All right. I appreciate you keeping your comments brief so we can have David Zito. Zero? Oops.
I like zero, but not quite.
Okay, I'm not sure. I can't quite read the handwriting. And then Heidi Dewar, and then the last one would be Patrick Johnson, if we can keep going.
Great, yeah, thank you. David Zito, Solana Beach Council member. Sorry for being overdressed for the occasion, but as you might imagine, I did bike here tonight, and I will congratulate you on having a bike rack right by the front door. And I'll take people to task by noting that I think my bikes out are pretty lonely. It seems to be the only one. But nonetheless, I was primarily showing up. I did want to acknowledge that three of my other council members in the audience tonight was primarily showing up to support staff and their comments that they wanted to make. I wasn't quite sure with what has gone on to date, how much the board has been educated with the conversations that have happened at the staff level. And I think it's important that you should be aware, at least the position from the City of Solana Beach staff so far is what I also believe, that since this is primarily a non-educational component, this is office space, is that it would be subject to City of Solana Beach zoning regulations as well as approval processes. And thus I would encourage you to make sure that should you choose to move forward, that you direct your consultants to actually study that as part of this project, because that wasn't listed in the October report, and I think that's a serious flaw with respect to your report. So I just wanted to reinforce that our staff, Mr. Lim over there did a great job, has our full support, and that you should make sure that feedback is incorporated in your considerations. At this time, I certainly won't be expressing any opinion, because should you be moving forward, I might be reviewing this project, and so I won't make any comments on the project itself. Okay. Thank you for your, and also thank you all for your time. Thank you all for your service. I can truly speak from my position that it's a lot of work, and I appreciate people stepping up to do it. Thank you.
And thank you for riding over. Heidi Dewar, please.
Good evening. Thanks for having all of us and making the extra time. I promised Shannon for a bottle of wine that I would make a couple additional points for her. So, and then I have some thoughts on my own. So one of the points that was made about the location of the new space is that it's closer to some of the schools, but it's really only 5 miles. And 5 miles is not that much. People are getting in their cars anyway. There doesn't seem to be much exchange, even in your river flow pattern, where it does not include students or the schools or the community. So it doesn't seem like there's a real need to actually be close to the schools. And 5 miles, everyone's in their car anyway. Fortunately or unfortunately, it's not that big a difference, and it's not worth the cost. And when I heard that there was going to be a wellness center, I thought it was fake news, because that seemed, I'm all for wellness, but I'm not for the wellness of a few over the wellness of the community and students. And another point that I would like to make is, as you're spending our money. You're spending the taxpayers' money. And it's your responsibility to be fiscally conservative. This is not a fiscally conservative project. I work for the federal government. We can't even buy coffee when people come to meetings at our facility. This is the other extreme. There has to be someplace in the middle. Yeah, and then I'm going to leave time for Patrick so that he can speak. But thank you for taking the time to listen to all of us. And
thank you for coming forward.
And just to be clear, I'm opposed to the project.
Thank you. Patrick Johnson, please, final speaker.
Well, thank you, everybody, for your time tonight. Really appreciate it. I think you can see by, you know, the community members have pretty much made it here on a last-minute call that we take this very seriously in Solana Beach. So I'm coming to you right now tonight wearing a couple different hats. The first one is community member, looking to decrease the amount of green space in Solana Beach is something that absolutely is not supported by the community. In fact, when Solana Vista School District started redoing this, putting their plans forth to the community to redo the school, they were reducing the green space significantly, and the community, it was up in arms and immediately forced them to redo their plans. And it's costed a lot of money, and it was a huge error on the Solana Beach School District's part to do that. And this clearly is being pushed by the community right now in a deceptive manner. We weren't aware of a lot of this stuff. You heard the board, the board talk about how they were unaware of it. I talked to the superintendent of the school district today, Solana Beach School District. She thought this was a dead deal. She had no clue what you guys were trying to do in our backyard. So that's the first hat I wear. The second hat I wear is as the Solana Beach Little League president. And we represent kids from the ages about 4 to 12. And right now, our 11 and 12-year-olds and our 13 and 14-year-olds have nowhere to play the advanced levels of baseball. Mm-hmm. Those are the same kids that go to Earl Warren Middle School, right? Earl Warren doesn't have a baseball field. CVMS has access to two. Degueno has access to one. Pacific Trails has access to two. In fact, if you go out to Aviara, Oaks, and the other districts, they have access to two baseball fields. Calavera Hills has access to two baseball fields. Valley does not have access to baseball field, but they have six tennis courts on site. We have, at Earl Warren, one field. That's it. Shannon called it two because of the track, which is in horrible condition. This school, Earl Warren, has the smallest field space of any school in our district, and in Carlsbad District. And this is from information put together in the last 30 minutes. And you guys are very irresponsible in assuming that you can take that green space and turn it into a building. It will not fly by our community. And there's a concept in business that we talk about. It's called KYC. It's Know Your Customer. And you guys clearly haven't engaged the Solana Beach community yet. You don't know your customer yet, because we are adamantly opposed to anything involving reducing green space in our town. And you guys are kind of at a head right now where there's a school that's looking to reduce green space. Someone's buying one of our golf courses and trying to reduce green space. It's not a good time to be trying to reduce green space in Solana Beach. So the final member, the final hat I wear today is as a, I'm a member of the Superintendent's Task Force, Solana Beach School Superintendent's Task Force. And one of the mandates that they have is to maintain as much green space as possible.
Right.
That is a mandate. And clearly, you haven't spoken with them about this issue. Another they have is to minimize co-localization with students of construction projects. You have a safety issue on your hands, too. Solana Beach School District was trying to co-localize construction with school, with the students being on the same site, and that plan was changed, where they're now shipping students to other schools because of the danger involved in co-localizing a major construction project. Okay. With construction.
Thank you.
So thank you very much for your
evening.
Time.
All right. Thank you all for coming and sharing your comments with us. I would also say we started receiving a lot of emails today. I tried to respond to folks as I was heading out the door. So if I didn't say that I saw your email, it's just because we were already into pre-meeting meetings. But thank you all for reaching out. I'd like to turn to Dr. Haley first as we approach this.
Yes, if we could have Executive Director Adelman come to the podium.
Okay, I think it was after, and we've already gone over on time, so I'm gonna.
Give her 3 minutes. She's going to air 90 minutes, please. Thank you. Brittany, she said you should.
No, I already showed discretion. We went over the 20 minutes, almost to 30, and I believe we've heard the gist of what the concerns are of the community. So I appreciate your coming.
I'm not,
different topic.
Well, I mean,
if it's a different
topic, but I mean, I've waited an hour.
What topic are you speaking on?
Okay. Can you bring it? Can you speak just as briefly as possible then to what you'd like to say?
I don't have much time. I've got a family who might have to talk to me. Okay. I'll make this as quick as possible because I wrote this during this. So my name is Brittany Estrada. Just real quickly, lived in San Diego for a long time, 20 years. I don't know any of you guys. I haven't sent any emails. I haven't coordinated with anybody else in this group. All I knew is it was a topic that came up. And I have 3 kids. I'm an 8th grader, Earl Warren. I have a kindergartner and a preschooler. And my 8th grader was in the temporary housing when you guys were building the other school. So very familiar with the area. I'm tired. I've worked all day. I went to dance. Now I'm here. I'm hungry. My family's hungry, which means this is important to me. I don't do the city council meetings. I haven't even been at the school board meetings. I don't know any of you guys, so it's important. When I moved out here, I was put on jury duty. And I thought, you know, I was young and not very smart, and I'm like, oh, this will be fun, right? Well, it was when the 56 went in. And when the 56 went in, they focused on the eminent domain, and they focused on the green space and how much green space we needed around here. I moved to Solana Beach shortly after that, and I think that really what we need to do is, for my 14-year-old son, who is addicted to his phone all the time, keep them outside, keep them on the fields. He does play baseball over there. Watching him play football with his friends after school over there, I mean, that's a very critical time. The 7th and 8th grade time is so critical. And having these fields for our kids is really important. And finally, I've come to this office for ISPE forms before. I've come here to drop paperwork. I've dropped stuff off. I would much rather deal with dropping off paperwork and dealing with you guys up here in Encinitas than in Solana Beach. In Solana Beach, it's a traffic mess already. We have all the schools. I sit in it every day. And I actually think this is a really good location just from somebody from the general public who has to deal with dropping off forms and picking things up. So I would just request that for the kids that we leave that field for them and you guys do your improvements here, this building. I think that you can improve it, and I think that that would be great. I think we all need office improvements, and I want you guys to have that. Just do it here instead of over there.
Thank you. All right, so we're going to have Mr. Adelman come to the...
So, there's lots of information included in your packet. We had the special meeting in the fall. This has been discussed many times, so I won't repeat everything. Would like Mr. Adelman, and I don't know if you've spoken with Mr. Prince, but address the issues raised by the city of Solana Beach and the funding source and what's changed from the fall.
Sure. So as a gentle reminder, we were asked to do a feasibility study. As part of that feasibility study, we did reach out to the city of Solana Beach. They have on their wonderful website all of the... I'll try to speak up as I'm giving the cold. So as part of the feasibility study, there was outreach to the city of Solana Beach. They do house on their website all of the city ordinances as part of the siding of the building.
You can take your spot for a while if you don't mind.
Improvise.
There you go. So as part of the feasibility study, the siding of the building took into consideration all the setbacks, building heights, parking lot requirements, including electric vehicles, green space, and the like. Again, the original notion in talking with the city engineer
They had already told us that as part of any ongoing effort, if we were to move forward, this particular item would put us in that position to move forward with the traffic study, working with conversations with both the city of Solana Beach as well as the Cultural Commission to work out any various issues, some that were mentioned here this evening, and the like. So in terms of what's occurred in terms of funding from October to now, at the October meeting, it was determined that it could be feasible. The funding at the time, though, there was no funding for the project. What has since happened is that we've received a letter back in December from the state that reimbursement dollars were going to be available coming back to the district for past prior projects.
So
over the last 5 years, we've had $50 million in reimbursement due from the state. We received last week the first $15.5 million of those funds. And obviously, we wouldn't recommend using all those dollars for this particular project, as there's quite a few issues that need to be worked out and vetted as part of the overall project. As part of that $15.5 million, there would be enough to move forward with the architectural services if it was approved. But the fair amount of money would go towards renovations continuing at Oak Crest as well as San Diego Academy.
And so how much are you earmarking for this?
At this point in time, it would only be for those items approved this evening.
So how much are we talking?
It would be, I believe, the 300 and...
$352,412.
Is there no money left from that? There's no money left from that for any other new projects?
From the 15 million?
Right.
Yes. That leaves the other 14 million
right,
to be used
for... Right, you're using the town, the SDA, and Oak Crest.
Correct.
We do expect to get the $50 million. And we were skeptical when we first received the letter at the very end of December, but we got the second letter in January. We were still skeptical, but having $15.5 million in hand with the schedule to pay out the next 35 is we're less skeptical having a check for $15.5 million. The other thing that I just want to correct in terms of funding, it's never been proposed to use any Prop AA funds for this project. And the feasibility study, and we have the partner here that led it, was extremely thorough in terms of vetting the uses for this building and what the highest purpose was and what the value will be. And we did speak directly with industry experts. This building was built in 1979 as a medical office building, and although there may be some businesses that have closed, medical office buildings are not. And so
the money extra goes into the general fund.
So this building being used as an asset, that cannot go into the general fund. It can only go to pay for facilities, correct.
And so you said we have $130 million worth of upgrades we need to fix?
Is
that what you just said when I was talking to you earlier?
No, what I said was at the October workshop, we had reviewed and identified at approximately $130 million in projects that could be done across the district. Some of those projects are projects that could still be funded under Prop AA as we use the rest of the authorization between now and the year 2035. And then other projects could be funded as
But this 15 million could be used to the schools, to all the sites, and so we could catch up on all the things that need to get done.
Be at your direction.
Could we maybe get some information since the last time we met? We kind of added in conversation about our facilities office and our welcome location. Does that change our financial picture on considerations for?
That is in another jurisdiction, the city of Encinitas. The city of Encinitas has an obligation for housing. If they change the density for Vulcan Avenue, it would make it very attractive for a developer, and that could also be used as an asset.
I think part of my question is when I first came on the board 15 years ago,
Peggy Lynch was our superintendent, and I know at the time, I think we were at like 7,000 or 8,000 students in our school district, and she was saying we were outgrowing this building. So part of my question is, we've got facilities that's kind of off-site, you know, and that comes at a price for how our staff can...
Correct. We're not able to house all of our district office staff together at the same time, correct.
Here.
You mean the facilities that's over in Vulcan?
We have facilities, nutrition services, transportation services spread out.
Now, the transportation's over at SDA where the buses are. That makes more sense if they're there.
We actually have them in two different places now. We're hoping to consolidate them.
So we have a discussion about this at this point?
Yes. Any further questions, we're happy to answer.
So I think... it's important to consider all sides. And when I had a meeting with you all, I was told the primary reason that we, in addition to the ones mentioned as well, is that this building can create an unsafe work environment for many of the employees, that they don't have windows and things like that. Can you speak to that? Because we do want our employees to feel valued. We do want them to have a workspace that's comparable to the great improvements that we're doing other places. We don't want them to feel unheard or uncared for. So could, just to be equitable in the discussion, would someone be able to speak to that?
I can speak to some of it, perhaps Associate Superintendent Douglas or others. You'll notice that there's another agenda item after this, EF. The status quo the status quo doesn't hold. So we're going to have to do something with this building. As I said, it was built in 1979. It's aged. It's had very few dollars go into it for modernization or upgrading. So the items listed for 10F are just a beginning of what would have to be done, and that those are just building envelope issues, roofing, HVAC. We have significant Americans with Disabilities Act issues that we have to address. The elevator is... undersized, couldn't be built the way it is today, the stairways,
so
the parking lot.
Are any ADA compliance, are any things that urgent immediately someone could be in safety trouble?
They're code issues and safety issues both, yes.
So is that true? These are not safe? Is that what you're saying? Why would we fix something that wasn't safe?
Well, that's what the next agenda item is for.
Okay.
To fix them.
Yeah. So the next thing is to get to a baseline.
Correct.
But to get to an optimum...
It doesn't improve functionality.
We don't have an exact number for that quite yet.
Okay.
Is there a guesstimate?
Well, if we were looking to do a longer-term solution here, we'd want to go back and look at it holistically across the board. What's on the next agenda item is to start addressing those building envelope issues, addressing ADA... access concerns, both that stairwells, elevator, restrooms, and the like, mm-hmm. parking lot.
So I asked you about this. So I said I wanted this to go into the whole district. Is that because, you know, we grade every district item, yes, opposed to does it need to be done right now or what can be done later? And so you put all these things into the, I saw you do that last night. I didn't get a chance to look at that this morning, but I got from the superintendent. So everything that's done here is in the whole district.
Correct.
Okay.
Proposed is part of that.
Is that because
original?
I'm wondering everything that should be done immediately? Should we put all the district at the schools if there's an issue with them on this list too? If they're supposed to be done immediately?
Yeah, and those are largely being addressed through Prop AA.
But we're talking about this money. If we can't get to it, we should get to those right away too. Maybe
correct.
We should come back with a list with all the things that need to be done right now.
I believe we provided that in October.
Right,
right.
That we're talking about the district office things now. What about
we don't? We don't have comparable issues at our sites.
Well, they should be because it's our dollars that we're using, so it should be compared with.
But
I'm just saying, if you view this building in light of the school buildings we have, this building has not been modernized
right.
ever.
Well, what about the Ken Novus here? What if he did? He's a superintendent.
Nothing I've done that besides moving maybe walls for the office space.
Yeah,
but
just curtain.
I would say something I noticed this evening was in our, I believe it was in our audit report, all that massive document, where it talked about things like the life of buildings.
Right.
And under the best circumstance for the best buildings, it's a 50-year life, and I think that's what it's been done with DSA. Sure. This is over 40 years old, so I think it is at a point in its life where we need to look at big picture.
Well, we have to look at the kids first, and also, Beth, you have to remember, most people have probably out here, your homes are probably 40 years old. You're still living there.
And they've probably done remodels, but I think when we speak about our district, it's the entire district, and our employees, of which there's a significant number, there's concern for whether we're providing them the same sort of quality of work day as we provide our students in their student day. So for me, that's part of my interest.
I'm not saying don't have paint. I'm not saying not to redo walls or redo the curb. I'm not saying that or put some windows in. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that that's an issue. But I'm not saying is that maybe we need to go back and look into this. Why don't you go into the sites? Is that we're putting money towards making sure. And I can tell you something, we haven't had, this person we've ever had input from the public or from the kids, is that we're going forward without any input. And I'm going to tell you something, it's the first time I've heard from anybody in the public.
I think it's all a process, and we're starting at the beginning, so we have time for that.
But Boeing up
there. Yeah, that's true.
Then we're looking at next steps, and
well, if our children come first, and you all talked about wellness, I thought that's what we're all about,
I'm going to say, but I said when we had our very first meeting that one of my considerations is can we do this without it taking money from our general fund, from Prop AA dollars, and so that's part of what I'm looking at right now is can we do this and maybe meet some other requirements, such as I personally like the idea of having more of our staff in one place. I have heard comments that pertained to lack of access, lack of immediacy, and you know. So I personally,
so everybody has to drive the district office. Is that come on?
Can I share some thoughts?
Sure. So I've thought about this a lot, and would like some time to just bounce ideas off of the rest of you as we're up here. I do need to, before I start, say something, and I seldom do this in my 10 years of being a school board member, but I will speak to the tone of public comment, and while everyone who was here was entitled to say exactly what they said, I also have the right to comment on it. And while it may be a common practice for people to lash out at district staff or at local politicians, that doesn't mean it's right. I'm a parent volunteer, and any assumptions that I am being sneaky or devious or that any of these people sitting up here with me are goes against my personal philosophy, which is to assume the best of intentions. And it is my job to represent the people who also are not in this room and to explain and talk with you guys about why I have some feelings that this is something the district needs. It does not mean I'm convinced, and I will certainly take into consideration anything the public has told me tonight in the future. But again, that is my prerogative. So we teach our students to disagree respectfully, and I would appreciate those in the public tonight. I do want to say that there were those who absolutely did that, and I appreciate it. So, that said, I would encourage people to fact-check everything they hear at a school board meeting from the district staff and from the board, but I'd also encourage them to fact-check the things that they hear in public comment. There were errors. This is not associated with Prop AA. Also, the article that was being referred to was preceded weeks, if not months, earlier by Karen Billing, who I believe is in the audience. So, once again, we want to make sure we're making decisions about kids based on accurate information, pulling the emotion out of it just a bit. So what I will say is that my term will be over before this building will be built. My daughter will not be here. I will still be paying taxes, and I am, so far, still open-minded, but I am in favor of going forward with this, and I'd like to take some time to tell you why, and so you can tell me where the errors in my logic might be. So this is a lot of money. I don't take it lightly to spend it. Every school board member is fiscally responsible. It's just the nature of our job. We have to be with the limited revenue that we have. And so when I say that I'm doing this because I think it's in the best interest of children, you know, you can take that at face value. So I do understand that there is a need for outdoor space. But we also have an obligation to discuss the needs of the district. So when I look at this a couple different ways, when I think about real estate, I think this would be very different if we didn't own this land already and didn't own the building. This is not like a district that's trying to decide, do we build a new school? Do the enrollment numbers support it? This is something that would have, at the numbers that we looked at earlier this year, paid for itself, albeit in decades. This building would have generated the revenue to cover the cost of this project. Now we find out that the state has come through on a promise, and we have $15 million in money that was reimbursement that can only be used for facilities, and that there's another $35 million perhaps out there. So this means that we could go forward with this without Prop AA funds, without general funds, and without the net needing another facilities bond, potentially. And what people have to realize is the status quo here is not an option. I've talked to Dr. Haley about this at great length. This is an aging building that is at the end of its useful life unless we do something about it. So in terms of spending money, money is going to be spent one day or the other. So there's the money issue, there's a field issue, but they're separate. Green space issue.
Lease a different building. Just lease a different building.
I listened very patiently during public comment. Thank you. This building has been outgrown. This district is twice as big as it was when we bought it. I have a member of the community sitting here now who came to this board meeting at 4:30 today because there was not, she normally finds there's not adequate parking. We have our population that's doubled, and it's also moved geographically to the south. It is may only be 5 miles, but that 5 miles takes an hour often. And I can say that as someone who comes up here on a regular basis. Trustee Muir made a good point today about holding board meetings in the south. The problem is with these morning meetings, if we were to do a morning meeting, it would mean that we would be stepping upon the facilities that our students are using. So there is a need for large meetings, for professional development and things that this district has, and they don't have a place to do it. So if we do it at Earl Warren at that, what is that beautiful place?
The Cove.
The Cove. The kids can't use it that entire day. So this is something that keeps happening. Our kids keep getting pushed out of our facilities because we lack a district office space. I will say that as a board member who served in Del Mar, they did some really transformative and amazing work in terms of curriculum and instruction, and the only reason they were able to do it is because the superintendent and the assistant superintendents were able to be in classrooms upwards of 140 days out of 180-day school year, making sure that instruction was at its highest quality. This is not a functional or purposeful workspace. I was just at the Salk Institute last night. My husband and I do some volunteer work, and that building was very specifically designed by Jonas Salk to promote collaboration. So we heard last night two scientists speak, completely unrelated fields, that had the opportunity to collaborate because Salk chose to build this building that had no doors, no numbers on offices, so that people could collaborate. And so we have two great scientists who are engineering viruses to take out cancer cells because the building itself allowed that work to happen. You can see more about that. Robert Redford did a film on that particular building and its purpose. This will be a DSA-approved building, so it will be something that our students can use and will also serve the community in providing the office space and meeting spaces that they need. The way it is here, these were some of the things that I discussed with Dr. Haley. This is not a building that promotes collaboration or transparency or wellness. And I know that our focus is on children first. I've been in education for 30 years now. That's been my life's work. But we have to think of the needs also of our employees here. So we have our support staff that work in a building that does not have windows by their desks. They are they have colleagues at sites, our support staff at all of our other schools that have had significant modernizations. So employee wellness, I mean, we can argue the details of wellness then, but the wellness of employees is not only human and decent, but when people are able to work in a decent space, they will be more productive and do more for our students. I will also say that this building now, and I don't see any way in changing this, it is not a welcoming place for students or families. Then my last thing, or actually, yeah, no, this is my last thing. We do not need a field in terms of, I'm not saying a field is not needed by the community. Our students during our school day do not need another field. There is no need for that. And again, this is the kind of thing. Right, my understanding is right now that Earl Warren students have access to a field that meets their needs, that they are not in need of a second field. And that there's been, what I am curious about and can ask staff about is the use, the community use, because I've heard everything from it being minimal community use, and more so. I did look at March and April usage dates, and they were not significant. The lower field as it is currently unusable. I don't even know if it's safe to be used at this point. And the sad truth is that providing green space for the community isn't the school district's job. It is the job of the cities of San Diego, Encinitas, Solana Beach, and Del Mar, and I'm sorry if they haven't prioritized it, but I can't justify spending money for a sports complex or any other type of facility that our students don't need now. I need to stay within my mission and the job that we are supposed to do here. And so I feel that it would be unfair to use taxpayer money to do work that's not directly within our mandate. So with that said, thank you for listening to me, and I would love to hear what the rest of you think about what I think.
Well, I think you're passionate, and I appreciate
a long-winded breath.
I appreciate your passion, and I appreciate that you came here.
Thank you.
I have a little bit of a different perspective. I think green space is really important.
But whose job is to pay for it? It's our job.
Let her speak.
Chair, it was pointed out that we have green space at all of our schools, and that is not really the case at all.
Can you repeat that? I was distracted. Could you say what you said? I missed you. I'm so sorry. I was distracted by someone in the audience. Could you say what you said about green space and our need?
What did I say?
You said it is important. You're right.
It is important.
It's very important
for our students. Yes, it's unfortunate that the city of Solana Beach did not plan for that initially. But our green space, as has been told to us, is being used by kids in the community and in Oral Warren. So it's not as if...
The lower field? But
it could be, yes.
No, but it hasn't been yet, is my understanding.
But it could be.
It's walked.
Okay, but let's...
Okay, so my feeling is, have we pursued other alternatives? We hear all the time about the closing of businesses, in particular in Encinitas. Huge number of businesses have closed their doors. Many of those are large buildings. Have we pursued taking a look at purchasing another building with all this money that we're getting, renovating it, doing it, but a building that has a large parking area, building that has many opportunities for different offices, different meeting rooms, different boardroom, etc. I don't know, at least I'm not aware, of our having done that. And I would really like to see us do that before committing to taking that space for a while. And believe me, I'm a 23-year veteran of this board, and I have been driving from Del Mar all those years, and I would love to see a building in Solana Beach. You know, cut it in half, terrific. But I think there are a lot of other considerations that we have to address, and I feel very strongly that we need to do that.
Is there a statistic that we have that we were speaking to? Earl Warren would have a smaller field footprint if we did this, but it's also our smallest student population. Is there like a per student square foot field space that we know of for our? I mean, you know, do we know at our different middle schools what
we could do a square foot comparison, but with regards to the curricular needs of the school and the size of the school, the upper field and track more than meets that need, along with the playground, and understand the sentiment for open space and fields. And I've participated in sports my entire life, and I've coached for the better part of 30 plus years, so I'm very well aware of the need for play space. But for the curricular needs of Earl Warren, that upper field, which we actually have slated for even more improvements, does meet the needs of that student population. That doesn't discount the community wanting other things. I'm just saying, from a curricular point of view, for physical education, It is used after school as well by the Boys and Girls Club, but we have looked at historical usage, and it's perhaps underutilized at times after school. And with the improvements that we could make there, we'd love to see it used more, but we do have competing interests. You know, I live in this district as well. I live in the city limits of San Diego. And the city of San Diego, you mentioned the different cities that we have in our jurisdiction. We also have the county. We have unincorporated areas. I'm very proud of the fact that the city of San Diego planned parks, planned open space, planned bike trails. I'm an avid biker and runner. I think most of you know that. I can step a foot or two out of my door, and I have miles and miles and miles of trails and parks. So I would hope, and we have a lot of City of Solana Beach council members here, I would hope they would come up with some sort of long-term horizon plan to have more space for the kids and families in Solana Beach. I think that's very, very important. If we can assist in that, that would be great. And definitely, you know, have the community use the field that we already have there.
I think shutting it off on the city council, come on, that's easy to do. It's done now. But we have the property now. I've been thinking about what you've been saying, and I'm going to tell you something. We haven't had any community input at all. They're surprised. I was surprised, because I thought you dropped this, is that I'm going to tell you something. My son played in those fields. He played soccer at the YMCA. It was packed. And the families come out, everybody's got their chairs, and they've got their food, and they're talking. It is the community, it's a point where everybody's coming together. If that's the last piece of property, we need to save that for them. You know, on top of that, sports, wellness, I got to tell you something, sports keeps kids off drugs, because you're part of something, your family's part of something. It's a community thing. We would go into partnership with you. Is that, you know, I have to say something, too, as we talk about the money. What about that leak in the ceiling over Torrey Pines and they moved out of CCA? We have so many other things that we need to take care of for our kids. And that property, 100%, we got to keep that green space.
I wasn't really finished. I'm really curious as to whether or not we have pursued other buildings that may be vacant or be going vacant in the near future, that there are many large buildings in the area, and it doesn't have to be Encinitas. It can be anywhere within Encinitas, Solana Beach, Del Mar, any place within our district, where we may, for the same or fewer dollars, be able to buy a large building, renovate it, have lots of parking, and do what we need to do in terms of this building being inadequate, and it definitely is inadequate. There's no question. The parking is terrible. There's never enough room for the kinds of meetings and so forth. No question.
But could I ask you then, because part of the benefit here is we have these properties. If we have to buy another property, that means we need more cash up.
Well, we would, I presume we'd sell this property.
For as much as it would take to buy anything.
It doesn't. Well, for the feasibility study was pretty clear. There's a much higher value to retain ownership of this over time. The sale price wouldn't match that over time.
You don't sell property unless your back's against the wall. This is our property. We own it, and we're not in trouble. We should never sell property.
Pursuant to the direct question, I would have to go back and discuss that with John Adelman and Renal Clark. We were really focused on the district assets that we had and the property at Earl Warren. We could certainly get some cost estimates. I would imagine it would be pretty expensive, but we could certainly do that.
Well,
see what's available.
Maybe there's a piece of property that is only zoned for office, and another one like this could be zoned for housing since there's a housing especially in cities. Is there a really quick question for Mr. Adelman, who's been very patient with standing at the podium? I know the feasibility study's already been done. Can, and why we even talked about creating a skate park in the parking lot, is there a way to have a field and a building?
On the same lower field there at Earl Warren?
Is there space to do both? Is there a way to do both?
Well, in order to meet the city ordinances, as folks mentioned, it requires an extra large parking lot. The building footprint that included in the feasibility study is approximately 5% larger than this building to handle a potential growth. If you were to do a field,
you'd have to get extremely creative in doing maybe a parking garage like is at San Diego State, where there's a track and field on top of a parking garage, or doing something like might be on the Google campus, where you might also have some kind of green roof.
So if we can possibly, if we acquired interest from the community and possibly contributing to that, so if we could retain that sports field, perhaps that could offset the cost of underground parking or staying within the ordinances.
Mm-hmm. What is
and we can throw in a skate park. And we can pay for it by leveraging our other buildings. So I'm just wondering, is it a win-win for everybody? Can you keep the field, improve the buildings, leverage what we have so that we're fiscally responsible? Can we be fiscally responsible, have a great sports center, and have a building that our employees can use to collaborate better, that students in the community can also use?
With the requirement.
Yeah, I would have to take the time to look at that, develop it, cost it out, back with an answer.
I love the people say they want to help. I love the idea of community involvement. I love the idea of kids winning. I love the idea of why does anybody have to lose? If there's a way that we can do it and we can be fiscally responsible, I would just love to know that before we make a decision.
I have a question, and again, if I'm outnumbered, I'm completely on board with whatever we decide as a team is the best. I'll support whatever we do, but there's a nagging thought in the back of my mind in terms of our responsibility to taxpayers. So if we don't have a need in terms of our programs for that land, but we still want to just, even though it's not necessarily our direct responsibility, provide that green space for them, is that something, I'm not sure if I'm being clear on this, but is there anything in Ed Code or any type of any concern with not using a district asset? I mean, there would be people who would say, you know, you could sell that land for other purposes, for a theater or for what have you. So what I guess I'm asking is, we have an asset that's worth a lot of money. If we choose not to use it and leave it, let's say, in the bank and feel that it is right now, knowing that we don't have an instructional need for it, or if we develop it and spend money developing it when it's not, so that's actually the better question. Can we spend money on that field to improve it when it is not, when we can't show that we need it for our own students? Is there a problem with that?
No, it's used by kids.
Well, but I'm saying, like, the city serves the kids, we serve the kids. There's lots of entities, government entities that serve kids. So what I'm trying to say is, could we defend to someone that this is our responsibility, that we should give the gift of this piece of land, which is worth about how much?
We didn't appraise it, but
I have to imagine it's, you know, probably half the, I know the new school in Del Mar is half the price of the build, of the whole construction is the land itself.
You can't put the price in the kids and on the wellness, because that's what you're talking about, is putting the price of the property over them.
No, that's not what I said.
The responsibility.
I said, I'm just curious. I'm not saying that we can't leave. If we decide as a board that we're going to leave that for community use, that's fine. What I want to make sure of, though, is that can we spend money developing that as a gift? Does it become a gift of public funds, is what I'm saying? Can we develop a field, even though it's not within our mission? I just want to be sure.
We do that.
Yeah,
just for community use, but not for family.
Well, it wouldn't be just.
Who would do the make? Would we be in charge?
It has been financially straining on the district, and we did spend a number of dollars improving the Calle Barcelona site.
Who does the maintenance on that?
We do. But yes, I have a big issue with that, and I think we need to start charging.
That's another agenda item.
I really love what you brought up, and I'm so grateful for this time to collaborate and brainstorm, because everybody's brought a really interesting and independent perspective. So what if, hypothetically, we were to sell that property to some community groups to create a sports field, we took that money, whatever the market value that is fair, and used it to buy office space in the same area, perhaps across the street, that's already existing. Could it possibly save us a lot of money? We wouldn't have a feasibility study. Everybody gets a sports field. The kids get to use it. Everyone's happy.
Ms. Douglas, or Mr. Adelman might be able to answer, but does that not open the door to that whole, I forget what it's called, 24?
We would have to go through a process, but
just to put it,
is it possible? What you said, it's possible. There's procedures that would have to be in place, and there would have to be either a community group or an investor or the city willing to pay for it. But, I mean, there's a process we could go through.
They already have paid for it with their taxes. The rest of the money, and with our bond, you are paying for it.
Right, but you have to understand the property owned by San Diego Union High School District encompasses 85 square miles, not Solana Beach.
It's not that they're not putting money into this district and paying for all of our staff and paying their taxes.
I'd say, I mean, as your fiscal advisor, I'd have to tell you have to take into account all of the communities and not just one. But whatever decision you make, I'm just giving you fiscal advice.
Throughout the state or throughout the nation, do school districts typically take on the responsibility of providing green space, or is that usually responsibility of the cities? Like, whose mission is it? I'm just curious.
Have you been to La Costa Valley?
No.
That's huge fields that are for community use.
Mm-hmm. Do we own that land?
We do.
Yes, well,
the difference being that we didn't have a use for it as a school, and we did build fields there. And I can tell you that it has financially impacted the district. So I would think we would need to revisit that and what is being contributed by the city of Encinitas or others for its usage.
Yes, and
again, I'm just giving you my fiscal advice. That's
But the sports organizations, and there are a lot of them that use those fields, and the city of Carlsbad was in on this at the start, and I don't know where they went, but...
Well, they went away when we wanted them to pay money, so...
No, they went away when they called it back. That's what happened.
We did actually re-engage with them, so after that.
Other questions or comments at this point? Then I guess the first question, if there's no further questions or comments.
Well, my whole thing is that if it's voted down tonight, we need to have a community meeting with the people of Solana Beach and that area to find out what the community wants.
You said if it's voted on or if
voted
it's,
down.
If it's voted down.
And if
then
this property is for the huge use, we need to hear from them.
Well, it's still our property to determine for our district's use.
No, we definitely want their input, but at the same time, they don't understand. They're not. We have a staff that's responsible for making what's been best in terms of instruction. So
these are the children.
I guess I'd be interested to know what the fair market value of that land is. And if there's any already, even in this room, someone that would step forward and say, I will buy that land contingent upon it being a sports field. I mean, maybe it's...
You would be breaking a number of laws going down that road.
Well, again, there's a process that we would have to go through. That's what we would have to...
But first, we would have to know what it's worth. So I think I'm being misunderstood. So my first question is, do we know the fair market value of the land? Number two... Do we know what it would cost to find a really amazing office space nearby that would be great for the district? And is it possible to get those two pieces of information before we make a decision?
One thing I will say is when Delmar recently purchased a school building and it was hard to find it. I don't think it's, I definitely think it's something that we could do, but I don't think this kind of building, the kind of building we need is necessarily readily available for lease or for purchase. But that could change. Yeah, that could be different.
Delmar community is smaller.
And my understanding, again, I'm not at all an expert on this, but if we were to be willing to part from any property, mm-hmm. we would have to give the colleges in the state and the cities mm-hmm. first shot at purchasing that land and using it in some other way rather than necessarily being...
Could it be contingent that it's a sports field?
That I have no idea, but I think you're opening a lot of
it and making it a sports field.
We were trying to do that in Del Mar because we had a plot of land for the ninth school and we didn't need all of it.
And so the idea is, you know, could you do it? Or if we, you know, there's, they're looking at, if they had sold the land that Delmar Hills is currently on, and which will now stay on. But you don't have a whole lot of control about, like people worry about high-density housing going in. And so once you, but pretty much we were saying there's no guarantee. If we sell that land, we can't say who comes in or what they do with it. Or let's say we send it to people who want to develop a sports facility. It's absolutely their right to sell it 3 years later and do something different, and it would be on our property.
And I don't believe we should sell it. That's absolutely not where I'm coming from. I do not think we should sell it. I think that we can... Well, first of all, I think we have to do a lot of investigating as to what's available in terms of really serious office buildings that would provide us with amazing space and parking and so forth for a district office.
Separate question, money tonight that we're using, is that coming out of the general fund?
No.
No.
And so people, what else could be used for?
Facilities.
Facilities.
I mean, we could knock off a few things of the sites. Just like I said, they had that whole auditorium line from the ceiling at the auditorium, and they had to go down to CCA.
We can do that with the funds that we're getting.
There are other needs that we have.
With the funds we're getting refunded, but we won't have an income stream. They're kind of two different pools of money. The real funds for doing actual work on the district office would only come if we were to repurpose this building and create that income stream. Otherwise, we have to come up with money, which would come maybe out of those returned prices to do, and that would be something we need to do separately then. If we don't move forward on the Earl Warren project, we would not just. I think we would need to look at bigger projects here.
Correct. We would still need to do the projects outlined under 10F, but we would have to do much more additional work in this building. Yes.
I feel like Mrs. DeAlessandro had another thought she wanted to share. Is there something else?
I need to ask
to see if I have a motion.
Before we got the one thing I was saying, you know, that I always think take seriously is when staff makes a recommendation. So since the staff did recommend this to us, do we want to hear any, is there anything before we make our decision here that staff wanted to contribute before to this discussion before we
I'm intrigued by Trustee D'Alessandro's idea, because that wasn't taken into account. I don't know that there'll be a favorable answer, but that wasn't taken into account. I would definitely say the sale of that property, there's significant laws and regulations. I'm not saying it's insurmountable, Trustee Mossy, but we would have to look at that very, very, very carefully.
And I don't have a personal wish to do that. I just thought having more...
I'm just saying. And then the last thing I would share is... you know, there have been opportunities for people to participate in this process. So the notion that there hasn't been any, and we've had a number and trustees have sat in on parent group meetings, site meetings. So there has been feedback, and I just want to clear that up.
But
so
the city planning person said he didn't even know.
Well, actually, I'm going to request a meeting with the city manager, because I think we need to be very clear about what outreach we did. And we've also discussed it at the City of Solana Beach liaison meetings. So I will be contacting the city manager tomorrow.
Okay, so you said about the grateful concern. I talked to Janelle. She said she lives right there, right next to Solana Beach, and she said she'd never heard of it. And she's been at the sites doing all these conferences.
Understood.
And she said she'd never vote for this.
Again, I'll defer to whatever the board wants to do. I just want to make that clear. I'm here to serve the board. If you want more exploration, happy to do that. I do want to make sure, though, that it's clear we represent 85 square miles, not 5 square miles.
And just to clarify, because I think sometimes it gets lost in the conversation. So today we would be making a motion or not making, or well, we're making a motion one way or the other to engage in the architectural services to the amount of $350,000. That's still, I know that is a significant investment. And if we don't think we're going to pursue this further, then perhaps we don't want to spend it. But this is not, we are not making the decision tonight whether or not this building gets built.
No, some things have been said about the building itself. We had to develop enough of a conceptual drawing to move forward to this process. There would be much more discussion about what the final design would look like. As mentioned, there are regulations that we would have to go through. All along, we've said we would take this building through the Division of State Architects so that we could instruct students in this building. And so that would have to be taken into account. And then the final thing that's done is those conceptual drawings are turned into DSA level drawings, structural design drawings that are submitted to the state of California. So, with my role in guiding the board, I'm certainly, again, willing to do whatever the board directs. I've heard that there are some requests for some more information, and perhaps the best thing to do is give staff an opportunity to reflect on that, and we can see if we can get more information for you so you definitely feel like you're fully informed. I don't think that's a problem. There's no urgency that we have to act tonight versus a month from now or 2 months from now. I think we want to make sure that all five of you have all of your data points answered.
So for clarity, if we do not have any motion on E or F at this point in time, I think
F does stand alone. I think we do need to get the work going to upgrade.
Do we need to look at it also, though, in terms of the larger project?
If we don't move forward, if the long-term, and I say long-term, and I've explained this before, why I put committed to the future under my signature with all my school district stuff is our time horizon is 50 years, as we've already heard. The decisions we make now are not for next year, but 50 years from now. So if the long-term decision is to stay, we may explore these other options, but if the long-term decision is to stay at 710 Encinitas, then we need to bring back to you the functional changes that would need to take place in this building as well. This just starts with the code stuff and the safety stuff.
So my request is that, Joe, is if you can take the emails to these people, and if this comes up back up again, you can email them and let them know, because sometimes it's very confusing with the agenda to know what's going on.
And actually, I had another question. So we are voting, perhaps, on a sum tonight that is in the $300,000 range, but that was just the first initial payment of around $1 million to get the total information. Is that correct?
Correct. That would be the estimated architectural fees should you wish to go beyond this initial step.
To rehab, to sell it, move.
Then started.
So meaning after we spent this
amount, we should focus on 10E, and then if you don't want to take any action on 10E tonight, and then if there are any further questions specifically on 10F, address 10F. We're kind of getting back and forth.
10E is an installment. It's not the total.
Correct. The way in the state of California fees are for school construction, it's based upon the final price certified by the Division of State Architect, which we can't know now because we haven't even designed it, let alone build it.
Correct, and the proposed amount on this item is a not-to-exceed amount.
Okay.
So it's to further the design to have the discussions with the City of Solana Beach, Coastal Commission, develop the studies that would be part of the CEQA process, which would involve the community. And anywhere along that line, contract could be stopped.
But to the tune of $350,000.
That would be the not to exceed amount, correct.
All right. So I guess the question is, do I have a motion to enter into agreement with Rudolph Clark for architectural engineering services in the amount of $352,000 plus reimbursable expenses, and authorize Tina Douglas or Robert Haley to execute the agreement?
No, I like Dr. Haley's proposal. He's saying he wants for us all to have some more information. Do you all agree?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Then we will move. We don't even need to take a vote then. We don't have a motion, not seconded. So I will move us to...
just direction to staff to provide us
correct,
more information.
Correct. Consideration of approval of agreement for architectural engineering services for improvements to the existing district office. Do we have any other public comments?
That would change now. What we're going to bring back, is going to bring something back the next meeting?
No, what I'm saying is they were getting together. The projects that need to be done here stand alone. I mean, we need to do this work. So
This has to happen one way.
Correct.
Yeah.
There would be subsequent projects that would have to be done. Again, this is focused on the building envelope, the code, and the safety issues. Functionality we would bring back, again, depending upon other decisions you make.
Yeah.
So, even if this were, what I'm saying is yes, even if this were turned into an asset, all of this work would have to be done.
Right.
Or if it stays the district office, this work would have to be done.
Okay. So I move approval for 10F.
Second.
All right. Do we have further questions or comments, or are we feeling clear where we are for this particular?
Right. So district upgrades and the district office.
And they'll bring back further needs if we're going to stay put.
Okay.
Should we take a break for a few minutes?
We're not done with the item, though. I've got a motion and a second on the table. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That carries unanimously. And before we take a five-minute break, I would like to say thank you to everyone who's come. I know it can be a frustrating process, but it's part of how we have our opportunity to talk everything through from all angles. So thank you for coming. We'll take a five-minute break and come
thank
back.
You, Gavel.
Pick up where we came. Thank you. For the delegate assembly election for 2020, I don't believe you have any requests for public comment on this item. Ms. Schultz has provided you with a copy of the ballot. You had all the backup information on these individuals in your packet.
Can we nominate
people? We may, and or I can review who I have, but if you have someone in particular,
Nominate Eleanor Evans.
Right.
I told you she's been a principal and a teacher. She's amazing. Oceanside was having a really difficult time with their finances, and guess what? They balanced the budget. Is that she has done so many programs, and it's perilous volunteer getting kids into college and helping kids read and so many. You don't know her. She's an amazing woman.
She's one of the incumbents, which I would know, or I would suggest that we vote for the incumbents that are marked there with the asterisks. There are seven of them, which leaves us with two other additional seats, one of which I would like to nominate Tamara Otero from Cajon Valley. She was a prior delegate. She had to give up her seat as she served in another capacity, and we'd like to have her back now that she's available. So I would nominate her.
Is that seven?
That's eight, I believe.
How many can we do?
We can do nine.
So
let me just read them. I have Barbara Avalos, I'm on the left side, all the asterisks. Brian Clapper, also with National. Eleanor Evans, Oceanside. Then Claudine Jones, who's North County, Carlsbad. I would like to nominate G. Wamad. I think a lot of you met him at our lunch, and I think he'd be a good addition.
Joyce Eamon Cornell. That was someone I remember his name.
So okay, let's keep moving. Tamara Otero, Elvis Salinas would return for Grossmont, Marla Stritch from Encinitas, and Cipriano Vargas also up here in North County. So we've got a pretty good representation. I believe 2, 4, 6.
That's nine.
That's the nine.
You get nine.
Not that there aren't other good candidates, but that is who I would suggest. So if we have any other discussion, I'd be glad to hear it. If not, I'm asking for a motion to vote for those nine. Do we have a second?
Okay.
All right. And all in favor then, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, that carries unanimously. Brings us to consideration of the resolution in support of Proposition 13 for Public Preschool K-12 and College Health and Safety Bond Act of 2020. We don't have any public comment slips. I ask that this be brought forward. It's been supported by quite a few different entities, but I would ask if there's any questions or comments that we could giving assurances on, and if not, I'd ask for a motion.
It's just clearly in our best interest to be in favor of this.
All right.
So I second your motion.
I moved.
All right, it's been moved and it's been seconded. Are there any other questions?
I have a question. So anytime there's a tax increase, I really want to hear from a bunch of people on it, and when I asked, I did. And let me be very clear, I'm all for money for schools. But what was shared with me is it's a $15 million bond that taxpayers will actually pay $27
million more. Yeah, that's right.
And that it would increase local property taxes?
Yeah.
Well, I think...
No, it can't.
It
can't rate that you cannot do.
No.
It impacts the state general fund, but property taxes are statutory.
Not property taxes, the amount that we pay back on the bond that the taxpayer pays.
So it raises the debt cap.
It is a complicated measure. I've studied it pretty well. I wouldn't say, you know, I'm at the capital advisor's Kevin Gordon level, but it does have different elements. At the state level, state bonds, when they're sold, are paid out of the general fund. So that takes care of that. Property taxes can only change by a vote of the state again to change Prop 13, the original one from 1977 or whatever year it was. So it does increase the state's debt load potentially, and the debt service has to be paid by the general fund. It contains another provision that allows for a higher bonding capacity within local school districts, because many of them don't have the same property wealth as, say, a district like San Diego. And so it allows them to sell more in terms of bonds with that bonding capacity, which does have the potential that in some districts, but again, that would still have to be a subsequent vote. They would have to pass a bond under Prop 39 or under the old rules in order for that to happen. So there would be, the state vote wouldn't just automatically allow that. There would have to be a bond passed with that language. Mm-hmm. So we have to have a look at our overall, and that's one of the challenges we have under Prop 8 as well, is managing our, even though we have an authorization to sell a bond, if we don't have the bonding capacity to sell it, then we can't sell it. If this increased that and we'd sold that bond, we'd still have to live with the other language we have, which is amount per 100,000 that any taxpayer could pay. It's a complicated answer, so one could argue there is some language in there that does allow for the possibility of higher local property taxes, but it would be based upon subsequent votes at the local level.
It
also, just to be clear while we're on it, then it's beneficial to us. We talked in the 10E about the $15 million, which is critical. We believe there's a pathway to get the 50. This allows for more reimbursement dollars that districts have been in line for over the many, many, many years. The entirety of the 8 years of the Jerry Brown administration to be funded. That's good.
Right.
There is a however. The however, it does change some of the rules for the future to benefit smaller districts or districts that are poor that perhaps don't have access to an executive director like John Adelman and haven't been able to get in line or haven't been able to come up with matching dollars the way we have. So, like anything, it's complicated.
So, the other issue, and maybe you can give me some information on this, is that it gives priority funding to districts that use a project labor agreement, which means that it limits outside bidding,
right,
which could result in our district having to pay for a higher cost if we can't get outside bidding.
I'm not aware. That's the first I've heard of that, so I'd have to research that. We have not entered into any PLAs, and I believe when Prop A was put together, we made that pretty clear that we would not. I'm aware of one district that went back on that, but that I don't know. I'd have to research it. I haven't heard that.
Because if it did give priority funding to districts that use PLAs, then it could end up costing us.
Yeah.
I'd have to research that. I don't know.
That's what the Union Tribune put out yesterday. They voted. They said vote no because of that.
I haven't seen that.
I wouldn't want to cost us more money as a district, and I wouldn't want to cost us more money as people.
Oh, the taxpayer.
Yeah, that's just the biggest concern I have. I am so for more money for schools. So it is confusing.
I can't answer that question.
Yeah.
I don't know, Tina, can you?
No, I haven't heard that either, so.
You can pull it up.
Well, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of vetting it against the actual measure, I wouldn't try to do that in real time.
Right. I think that costing taxpayers is a big concern.
seeing it's legitimate.
So, yeah, I guess my question would be for you at this point. Are you comfortable moving forward, or are you, or would you?
I think we should take.
I think I need answers to those questions.
Because we don't have to. I brought it forward because I supported it. I can support it individually without the entire board. I decided if the board was all on the same page as myself, and this is where I could have our conversation. So we do.
And be just two of us.
I think resolutions like this, I don't think they have. Can I withdraw my motion? My second? Maybe we do. It can always be withdrawn. We can withdraw. Okay, that we'll take that off. Thank you. I appreciate your discussing that.
If anyone gets more information, they could email me or
And you are all clear this has nothing to do with the prior Prop 13 from 1978,
yeah,
right?
I really advocate the state of California, sunshining, sunsetting, or whatever. If we can get the answer, we'll email that to all of you.
I really appreciate it. Thank you guys. So
thank you for the discussion. Brings us to consideration of adoption of proposed revised personnel classified salary range definitions, item I. There are no more requests for public comments, so do I have a motion to approve this?
I move to approve. Oh, I second.
Okay, got a motion. Second. Are there any further questions or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries unanimously. Consideration of revised Board Policy 5121. This is item J, grades and evaluation of student achievement administrative services.
I hear the staff law that was clear. But it seems like it was a the verbiage was clear. And that's always good to have clarity. That's why I felt.
This was an editorial change made by CSBA and was contrary to our practice in Ed Code, so we're just realigning ourselves to our practice in Ed Code.
Do I have a motion to approve the revised board policy?
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. Any further questions or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That carries. Brings us to the item that Ms. Triggs has been waiting for. So, this is consideration of renaming Sunset Continuation High School. Let's read the full. This item is regarding the consideration of renaming of Sunset Continuation High School, naming the Adult Transition Program, and naming of the Educational Center on Nicoisa Street. The board has heard comment over the course of the last 6 months, and a formal report was made to the board at our January meeting by the two naming committees. Following the reports, the board gave staff direction and additional information was sought that was included in the agenda materials for this item. As we have heard the prior public comments and reports, I'll seek a motion prior to hearing any further comments. Do I have a motion?
I make a motion that we retain the name Sunset High School, that we name the facility Requesa Educational Center, and that we name our traditional adult transitional students in transition program, the Coast Academy.
Is there a second?
Only the Dolphins.
Do I have a second for that motion?
I second.
Ooh, and one thing I will say discussion-wise is technically it's a minor change to Sunset because it was Sunset Continuation High School and it serves an extended purpose now.
Do we have any speaker slips on this?
No.
We do not this evening. So, but we have had several opportunities. So I think most people have felt heard. Appreciate the time we've invested in that. Are there any questions or comments on that?
I want to be clear. So we'll keep the name the same.
This is what the motion is.
It will be changed from Sunset Continuation High School to Sunset High School.
Okay.
And then I heard Coast Academy
and
Requesa
Educational Center.
I just want to say I appreciate everyone who participated in this process. I really appreciated all sides of the issue. At the end of the day, a lot of it came down to the student voice and former, current, and hopefully a lot of future students. I'm looking forward to all the amazing things that are going to happen on the campus, and I can't wait.
I'll add, I mean, this school, we said it in the beginning of June when we considered this, the school is a gem, it's a magnificent thing, and
I do think it's in need of some rebranding just so that we let people know that it's an option for perhaps more kids than it was before. So I know the name, you know, and a lot of companies, I was in the Oasis Spring Valley, and they've renamed about four other schools since I've left, from La Presta Academy to the STEAM Academy, those kind of things. But I think the most important part is not the name so much as that we really work to make this a high school of choice for more of our students who would benefit from the great program there.
Well, I agree. However, I do think it needs rebranding. I do think it needs a different name. I think that there is enough indication of people's opinions of what actually happens at Sunset is unfortunately very, very different than what actually happens at Sunset. And if the name is holding it back, if the name is
I agree.
Having an influence on the number of kids who are there, then I think there's absolutely no reason not to change the name. And like you, I know many, 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 many high schools that have changed their names, in spite of what the alum thought or whatever. I mean, that happens a lot to high schools. So I am in favor of rebranding it.
The only reason that I went, because I felt the same way as you, was when I looked at the new, we took a different survey with different methodology at a different point in time with different survey respondents, and it does seem like the current student population prefers Sunset High School. So I agree, we will absolutely lose kids to this school because it still has that name, and that's sad, and that's people's limited small thinking, and I don't know if we can to do anything to control that. So it's, again, this was a good thing. I really do stand by the fact that we brought this up to talk about. I think it was definitely worth weighing, you know, because there's pros and cons to both scenarios, but since the survey results do currently indicate that more students support Sunset High School, that's why I chose to make the motion.
I'm excited about what we've heard about what's going on there now, and I think that if in the future we can't fill Sunset and that's a big issue, then maybe we have to revisit it. But let's give it a chance. Mm-hmm.
I'd say, I know when this whole conversation starts, some of my first conversations with current staff, retired staff, people that came to me was, you know, it's a process, and this is how we do it, and I was open to the concept. I agree. I think we're losing some people. I know I've heard that comment made. I mean, from families that wouldn't consider it because of what their impression was, and then, you know, I spend time just like I do on whether an academy is better than a, you know, a traditional high school or something, explaining what we have to offer. I also was hoping I'd get a name that came before me that I just said, oh, this encompasses everything, and I'm thrilled with it. And I'll be honest, I'm still feeling like the options weren't selling me. So I feel a little bit like I'm selling, but I think if this is for now what it is, and we focus on the strengths of the program and how we can
And I agree, and I've talked to Dr. Healy just a little bit about this, but I agree with Mrs. D'Alessandro that regardless of the name, rebranding needs to occur, and I think the district staff already knows that and is working on that. I'd be really curious to hear how the high school selection nights went and how exactly we presented that to parents. I'm just curious.
I did get feedback. I'll tell you what happened. As I talked to the parents that went there, they said, we should do Ricky Ayell. And Ricky Ayell spoke first, and my girlfriend said a lot of parents had never heard of Sunset. Because you remember, most of the people that live here have just moved in here, and they have small kids. And so they really didn't, and a lot of them didn't know what Sunset until we proceeded to speak, and a lot of them were listening, and they thought it was a great option. And so you're thinking that everyone thinks that, not everyone in the community does.
that you're saying to me this is that they were listening to him, and she said they were very receptive to what he was saying, and he was saying, you know, you could take classes over at SDA.
Well, I didn't say that everyone thinks that. I said there are a few small-minded people who will not let their kids attend. I mean, that's just the way it is. It's a district of 14,000 kids, so it isn't everybody, but there's a few. And again, but I don't think it's enough of a, I mean, if this is what the students feel like is important, then I think someone, one of the public speakers said, a rose is a rose by any other name, Shakespeare. I did, even though I wasn't at the last meeting, I watched every single comment everyone made by via the video, and I do think that that's not, the name is not the important part. The important part of what goes on in that building.
Well, I do too. I thought it was great when we heard the dialogue and where Rick said that they didn't have a PTA or they didn't have a foundation. That's something we need to take care of. We need, and he said that he had no, not even on my back. That's a mistake. Because he has not even ties to my bed over there, and I'm sorry, but I can't remember the name of the church that's right there that they support them. It's
Seacoast.
And I got the parents there, and you know what? They do have support there. And so I don't, all these people have called and emailed us and said how it's made such an impact. I don't know how you can.
I would like to make one other comment, and that is, because I don't think I ever took the opportunity during the prior public comments, but I absolutely believe that Principal Ayala came from a place of earnest desire to serve more students in bringing this forward to us, and that's one of my, I guess, biggest disappointments in not making a change is to try and help him in his quest to serve our students better. But as we've said, I think hopefully there'll be other ways we can find to do that.
We can do that going forward. So I think it's great that it's uncovered this and that if he needs help, then I have better communication with us, with the students, and the community.
We don't want him to walk away unheard or discouraged at all. We want the opposite to happen, and if we need to have board meetings at Sunset or more functions at Sunset or whatever, I mean, we want to see amazing things happen there. We know amazing things are going to happen there. Kids' lives are going to be changed. Mm-hmm. They have been, they will continue to be, and hopefully more and more kids will experience that.
Although Sarah won't be there next year, so
two more classes.
I know. Oh, Sarah.
Any other comments down? Will be Sarah one last topic?
So what is it?
We're saying Sunset High School.
Okay.
Drop D continuation.
Is that going to work?
That was
high school? Yeah.
Yeah. It, well, it has to be. It's not just a...
And that was a change we had to make in any case, at the very least, was to drop that phrase, as Ms. Gibson mentioned. So, okay. Ms. Schultz, do you have the motion?
We had the motion.
We just
need a vote.
A second. Okay, we'll just go straight to the vote. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That carries.
I don't know why.
Oh, okay.
No, they, yes, I'm opposed. But, okay. Way it's worded here, it's weird.
The motion was...
Oh, yes, I'm opposed.
It's,
yes.
It's Kristen's motion.
So four in favor, one opposed.
And but I also know that Ms. D'Alessandro will work with us with what the board majority has decided. So thank you very much for speaking your mind, and I appreciate that. Brings us, and if you need to go, Sarah, I know you've stepped
in. Yeah, I just wanted to know what it was.
and then it's going to be Rayquaza
Educational Center
will be the name of the whole location.
Uh-huh.
And then the Coast Academy will be for the adult program.
So Sunset, Coast,
all Sunset. Under Rayquaza.
Oh, so it's not like Sunset Educational Center anymore.
Right, that part changed.
Oh, to what? To Rayquaza?
Rayquaza. Just their street.
Because now there's
the Educational Center on Rayquaza Street is the name.
Well, that's not what Kristen...
Rayquaza, the motion as we wrote it down was Sunset High School, Coast Academy, Rayquaza Educational Center.
That's awesome.
Okay.
I think that sounds
all right. Yeah. So thank you for staying.
And just before we move to reports, and I really wanted to listen and take guidance from the board and hear your motion, second, and vote. I do think it's important that we reach out to the principal, to the staff, and move on in beginning, you know, our communication plan and what we're going to do for the school.
Right.
I really can envision 2020-21 really being an in-depth planning year. Mm-hmm. I think we really need to get the new facility built and open to really showcase. So that's kind of what I'm envisioning. I've spoke to Deputy Superintendent Miller. I think we need to engage with the principal. I think we need to engage with the staff. And I think we really need to see, okay, we've moved past the name thing. We want everybody to be heard. We want everybody to feel supported. It's one of those things where, you know, I truly believe lots of people had the best of intentions with what they wanted. And so we've done that. And now let's look at how can we lean in? How can we develop the school as a true alternative school? How can we communicate? So I just want everybody in the process to feel honored, because I know that everybody put a lot into it. And but I think now we've heard the board make its decision, and we need to move on.
Is it possible to have eighth grade open house field trips where all the kids would get on a bus to go see?
Absolutely. Well, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, but that's what I'm saying. I think we're still in this transition phase where, you know, you can go by and you can see this amazing construction going on. It's very different than next February, where it will be open and alive and we can show people. That's what I'm saying. So I think we need to get to the next stage, which is really the planning of the future of Sunset High School as a true alternative school.
Thank you.
We did vote.
So that brings us to our information and discussion items. So I'm going to ask Ms. Douglas. To please present on business services. Ms. Miller, wait till we try to continue. Ms. Douglas, please.
So we're busy working on budget development. That's kind of been our focus. Obviously, we're also in the process of finishing up second interim for the next upcoming board meeting. So we're working kind of in 2 years at one time. So whenever somebody says something about, can you tell me what my budget looks like? Are you talking this year or next year? So we're working on that. We also have hired a transportation director.
Okay.
So he is coming to us from National School District. I apologize, my brain's a little fuzzy. I'm fighting something, and I'm going down real quick. So he comes to us from National School District.
As long as you're not fighting anybody over there.
No,
you may leave.
Don't call me that.
I brought my essential oils.
He's been working with the National School District as their director for the last 4 years. His name is Antonio Perez. He also worked for us for quite some time as an instructor, and left us to go to the State Department to be an instructor up there. So we're excited to have him on board. Nobody more than I am, but he will start with us on the 9th of March, so soon. So that's kind of what we've been working on.
Well, maybe he can drop by. I have one more because we could.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
It's been a busy night, so I'm going to let Brian talk next.
Just cue up my PowerPoint.
No!
A couple of quick updates. Just want to thank Manuel Zapata and Gina Canberra for their work on our second annual CD showcase, which was held at Torrey Pines. Kind of a unique thing. We honored four teachers that night. We also honored some of our industries. Urban Plates has been, as Dr. Haley said earlier today, has been instrumental in helping us with our culinary arts sector and actually doing visitations to the Urban Plates, both in Solana Beach and Carlsbad. And then the second thing that we've
been actually looking to move beyond that to how they market and brand. They're a company very, very interested in their brand and developing it, so...
More to come from Urban Plates with our working partnership. And like I said, I think Manuel and Jamie both have done a really nice job reaching out into our industries and bringing people to San Diego United School District. And I also think they've done an excellent job working with MiraCosta. We have a great field trip planned, I think, this next week on Tuesday to go visit their hybrid auto shop there at MiraCosta, where we're looking at doing a dual enrollment course at Torrey Pines using hybrid technology. The next and final thing I'll say tonight is coming up in April, I would like to bring back our middle school health committee. We've been working on our middle school health curriculum to be more in alignment across our district. doing some really impressive work with the San Diego County Office of Education. And my hope is to come back in April with a little to honor the Middle School Health Committee and also do a little presentation for you guys at that time just with where we're at.
Before we move on, I wanted to say at the CTE event, they also, Mr. Sabata brought a video that had been kind of finalized post Glenn Jones, but it was footage he had shot about the CTE program. So it was really beautiful nice to see some more of his work.
Yeah,
are you finished?
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry.
Thanks for mentioning that.
Okay. And
do you want to just... And then the calendars are just for us to review, correct? Review the instructional calendars for the next 3 years?
Yes, they were provided tonight. Everybody has seen them. You know, if you do have any questions or comments, please let us know. We plan on bringing these back for action in March. That's our plan.
I think my only comment, and I know you're fast, I have to say it. We do have some long stretches in there that don't have breaks, and I know that there are reasons why, but just, you know, thinking about student wellness, staff wellness, whatever we can do to give breaks, whether it's a day off or whether it's a homework-free week or whatever works best for everyone. I just... statistics that show that those are some of the most stressful times for students, and that there are repercussions to that. So I know we care about students. I know this is important to us. I know we care about our staff. And so let's just make sure we're doing everything we can possibly do collaboratively to make sure those are stress-free as possible.
Yeah. Thank you for the feedback.
Thank you. Right.
I have a question for all of you. I wasn't going to ask this time, but I was going to ask if I can maybe get some recommendation letters from you guys.
We'll put that on the next agenda. No.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
No. Absolutely. Absolutely. Speak to Sagar.
Really? Yeah. Thank you. Brian
is regular. Yeah.
He'll coordinate.
You know our email address.
Yeah.
So.
You can just...
Mr. Miller, do you have...
Okay, I'm not going to ask for a recommendation. Brian and I continue to collaborate with our feeder districts. Tomorrow afternoon, we are hosting our 5 feeder district associate superintendents here, having a continued dialogue and conversation about transition into our district. We've also extended that. Last week, we attended the North County Associate Superintendent Leadership Network, which encompassed Oceanside, Poway, our 5 feeder districts, where we engaged in a wonderful collaboration around leadership and guiding principles about some of the challenges that we all face. And I would be remiss if I did not publicly thank our enrollment team. So we're in the midst of enrollment, high school selection, ISB, all the good stuff. So our classified team of Danielle McCrory, Lori Wilson, Maritza Diaz, Kathy Schroer, and Rachel Miller have been unbelievably fantastic. Most folks don't understand that enrollment ISP high school selection also falls at the same time of a mandated state reporting period where they're also running reports at the same time they're trying to do enrollment. Our small and mighty team, I will tell you, every day puts on a smiling face and is 100% customer service and trying to do their best they can to make sure that folks feel welcome to our district. So they're just a wonderful team, and I just cannot thank them enough.
Thank you very much. That brings us back around to Superintendent Haley's closing remarks here.
We had action during the agenda on the 3000 series. Also scheduled this month for review is the 2000 series. That's a series that doesn't change very much, administration, over time, but we did review it, and there were no changes needed. And then as a reminder, next month will be the 4000 series. We do anticipate some changes for you that we've been working on for that one. Secondly, a coronavirus update was put onto our website yesterday. They're blending together. It's been a busy week. I feel like I've already done a two-week week this week. And I want to thank, and I do frequently, but I think it's always important to thank and recognize people. We have a very service-oriented San Diego County Office of Education. They've been sending out updates every couple of days. They work hand-in-hand with the County Health Department. So we are monitoring the situation, and we'll continue to communicate as much as we can. And then just a couple of other things would be... next week, we have interviews for the communication coordinator position, one that is sorely needed. So looking forward to that. It's gone through the personnel commission and all of that process and the testing and the reviewing. And so hopefully we'll find a solid candidate out of that group.
Can you send us their bios? Because I want to make sure. This is a big decision. I'm going to tell you something. Something I pull on my phone. I think most people use their phone. Our district website at this point is could be better.
Absolutely. And no, I can't send you the bios. We have to follow a very confidential process. So it's been a very, very thorough process. So, yeah. Yeah, we have to follow the personnel commission rules. In fact, I didn't even know who the candidates were until last night at about 5 o'clock. So that's the rules that we have to follow, and I've been learning them, and that's what I have to go with. And then one last thing. We'll be adding communication out to both families and then post it on our website and some updated information for our staff in regards to our student information system. Unfortunately, we will not be able to share very much as it is very much an active and ongoing investigation, but we will do the best we can to give an update as to where we're at.
Just have one comment. They said that 20% of the students at San Diego State are from our area. They came out yesterday and said they have 6 cases of mumps. Is that now with the break coming home? Maybe we should contact them and say, if there's an issue, maybe you should let us know. Because all those kids got from here. And I was shocked by that, because the dorms, you know, that's those close quarters.
They were all off campus, and the medical director says it's a low incidence of, they can't release which classes the kids are in, but they've been self-contained within the off campus.
That's an issue.
And sometimes we can try to track those issues, but I do want to ask, we still need to go to a closed session, and we need to also track whether Ms. Schultz has needs any signatures. We will need to come back here after the closed session. So if so the board will adjourn to closed session to discuss items 12A and 12B. And I do not believe we have any public comments left, so we will relook.
Back to open session to report out of our closed session. The board, on a motion by Mrs. Muir, seconded by Mrs. D'Alessandro, ratified the voluntary resignation of certificated teacher employee ID number 337342. It was unanimous. Brings us back around to our future agenda items. I understand we have a request from Ms. Muir.
I do. I don't want to take anyone by surprise. I couldn't tell anyone individually and violate anything. When I wrote this down, because I wasn't sure I could get through it. I absolutely love serving the students, staff, and community of our incredible slice of heaven in North County. This evening, I have bittersweet news to share with you. Recently, my husband of 27 years, Jason, was presented with the opportunity that would fulfill a lifetime dream for him. In order to support this dream, it requires us to sell our home and move from our current neighborhood. Serving as a trustee is the highest honor and privilege I have ever had. I do not wish to upset or disappoint any of my constituents. I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay.
I look forward to it.
You're allowed to move, my friends.
Yeah.
You don't owe anybody
anything.
I'm going to cry, too. Please, this is a very unexpected, difficult, yet exciting time for our family. In order to avoid the cost of a special election, I plan to remain a resident of my trustee area until the end of the school year. And an opening for the trustee area 3 should be on the regular ballot in November, according to the board policy regarding vacancies, as far as I know. If there's another wish or a directive, I would be totally open to that officially. And
you know, it's our loss.
Yeah. Are you moving outside of the boundaries of the district?
She's moving to North Carolina.
Oh.
Oh, I know.
Okay. This happened on Del. We had two different members who had it for family reasons. It's not official yet. I mean, it's an
emotional. Was this until the way you could share it?
I'm not allowed to say a lot, but
I don't know. How can you walk away from the salary, Melise?
Okay.
You know, it's funny you mentioned.
We did list.
And the glory.
We did list all of our property here, just
right.
a couple days ago, and I didn't want anyone to hear this from anyone but me. So, I mean, there is a chance it won't go through, but it's pretty, it's looking like it will. And
give us updates.
Yeah.
So we need to respect your privacy for the time being with the non-disclosure, did you say?
Until yeah. it's official.
Please,
I can't
everyone in the room.
Say a lot about it.
It's on a recording right now.
Yeah.
It'll be posted next week.
Yeah, I know that.
Okay.
Yeah, I know that. I just okay. can't say the exact city and the name of the business.
No worries.
Gotcha. Okay.
No, it's okay.
So. Thank you.
Everything you said is preliminary.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It is. Yeah, but I didn't know this was going to happen. And
it's okay.
Did you have more you wanted to say, though? We kind of did. Mm-hmm. Did you finish your page? Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Okay, well, thank you. We'll be watching the information and then look into the process. That's something new for all of us here to have.
I know this is an amazing world.
Areas and everything, yeah. Yes.
Good for you, because you're great people.
Yeah. All right.
That's cute enough.
Okay, any other future agenda items to be brought forward? Caught me off guard. I was waiting for another win-win. Suggestion.
Yeah.
All right. Then I am going to adjourn this meeting.
Yeah.
Please don't leave until we make sure.